Friday, June 12th, 2026.
The Alex Jones Network. Tomorrow's news, today.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Gentlemen, it is Friday, June 12th, 2026. I am your host, Alex Jones. Very, very thankful for you joining us today. Remember, you're the Paul Revere's, whether you're listening on AM and FM stations, watching on cable stations across the country, or on X at Real Alex Jones, at AJN Live on X, and, of course, the places like Rumble, rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. That is the new quarters for the broadcast, the new site with all the video and audio feeds, the articles, the videos, the special reports, alexjoneslive.com. That is the next phase in the info war. All right. I almost don't even want to cover the Iran news because for 106 days, it's the same cycle every day where we have a deal, it's done, they've agreed, the Iranians go, no, we didn't. And then Israel launches more attacks and they launch more attacks. And it just makes Trump look like a complete fool. And he's done all of the same stuff again. And I don't want to just sit here and bash Trump. But I have a responsibility to cover what is happening. And when he does inconsistent things that are just blatantly inconsistent and the opposite of leadership, I'm asking, how did he change? Because he's changed. And then I knew the inside baseball on this, but because it was sources that I couldn't give the sources, I've mentioned it, but I didn't go there. And also, it just seems gratuitous early on to just bash Trump. So I didn't really hold back. I've mentioned this some. People got really pissed off at me a year ago and you know, ongoing since they kicked Elon out. But Tucker's spilling his guts now. And by the way, everything he's saying is true. Trump's never denied any of it about their conversations. Trump would constantly call him every day. I'd been at Tucker's house, both his houses, just leaving last year. And he'd have to go talk to Trump for 45 minutes and said, oh, you know, off record. You know, just good. Now he's talked about all this, so I can talk about it. He just won't get off. It's just, you know, I got Netanyahu threatening me, and I'm just trying to stop a war. And, you know, I care about Israel, too. And, you know, it's Trump killing all the investigations. And then you got Bongino and all them falling on the sword. Hold on, Bongino's talking. And then he goes into his office for 45 minutes. He goes, oh, my God. So, I mean, I'm there when Trump and Bongino and Netanyahu are calling at his house in Maine and in Florida. And he's just literally like, ooh. So back then, he had massive influence. And Trump had him running around as like an unofficial envoy doing secret diplomacy, which is totally legal if the president wants you to do it. And so Tucker told me back at the time, you know, he's just like off record. He's like, you know, it's Trump killing all of it. And I'd already said that. I could already look at it from the outside and see it and then watch him at press conferences and things. But this is the latest thing, and it's a big story because it goes to everything we're dealing with. Bongino called up all panicked last year and said, Trump's ordering us to shut down any investigation into Butler. And to say that there was no social media of crooks. Well, then Tucker magically got sent all of it and published it. They didn't know it was, you know, real. And it was him as this big leftist and the rest of it. Why did Trump order that kill? And now Tucker's gone public with Mariana DeFall and talked about it. We got the clip coming up. I mean, this is a big deal. That goes into everything. What the hell is going on with Trump? Killing an investigation in his own attempted assassin. That adds a lot of weight to it. Michael Yon says.
The InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn, AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. Articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. And don't forget to download the app. Go to alexjonesapp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Here's what we got for you on this mega-packed, important, heavy news day on this Friday, June 12th, 2026. One of the most censored comics in the world, great talk show host, good friend, Anthony Cumia, is going to be joining us to cover the waterfront. What was it, 10 years ago, he got kicked off the number one syndicated program on Sirius XM. It's on stations across the country, the Opie and Anthony Show, because he said it's 20-1 black-on-white crime. It's open season on white people. The left is promoting this, and we need to decry this, and he got fired. And then everywhere else he tried to go, they fired him. So he was patient zero on that, just like I was patient zero with the next big phase of censorship. So he's going to be joining us. We'll have open phones after that for several hours and intersperse all the news as it breaks and unfolds. Now, the Iran situation just continues 105, 106 days into this. Israel started 106 days ago. We've been in 105 days. And Trump knows it's killing his recovery. He is trying to get it off ramp. But every time he tries that, Netanyahu just strikes again. And there's all those issues on the table. But Iran gave Axios what they'd agreed to. Trump had put out what he said they agreed to. And this has got to be the 40-something time. In fact, even the corporate media is now counting up the numbers. Notice it's accurate what I told you weeks ago. It's the 35th time, the 36th time, the 37th, the 40th time, the 42nd time. It's up close to 45 times he said the war is over and that we've won and all the rest of it. He did it again 2 days ago. He did it again today. And within an hour, the Iranians said, here's actually what we've agreed to. They gave it to Axios because they know that's where all the communications go on. That's the CIA, basically. That's where Trump's leaking everything. And it's just insane. And again, this is not 3D chess. This is floundering. This is Trump, I guess, having wishful thinking. And the Iranians have most of the cards. And they know that because they can keep the strait closed. And if they don't get the stuff they want, they're not going to open it. And Israel and the U.S. are the ones that attacked them. I'm not fans of them. I said 106 days ago when this started, I said, if I'm wrong, we'll get Dom Pignon. You know, I only do that like when Trump won the last two times. Only I'm not even a big champagne fan, but you'll get a $100 bottle of champagne, get three or four of them, the crew, we drink them on air. I've done that like twice in our history. And I said, if the mullahs fall and Trump's right and it falls in 4 days, I will say I was wrong and I will drink champagne on air. Well, you notice I was right. But I'm going to shelve this for now, okay, because I'm only going to spend like 10 minutes on this because it's the same story again. But the new story is every time Trump does this, he undermines his credibility and he undermines the peace process. So I would advise the president, until you really get a deal, stop saying you've got a deal. I've never seen such crying wolf here. And I say this constructively because I want to end this war, and I believe Trump wants to. You know, he said for about a year, oh, we're on the cusp of a Ukraine deal. And then finally he said, okay, I guess it'll never happen. We'll just sell weapons to Europe and that's it. And kind of gave up. And I'm not saying he should do that either. But at a certain point, Trump's got to stop doing that. So I'm gonna shelve this. Trump has made more public statements, so has J.D. Vance, that Netanyahu's out of control. You can say that's Republican consumption. Regardless, it's an off-ramp and does blame the original culprit of, while we're in this, Netanyahu. That doesn't take away any of the blame for President Trump as well, but you do have to point out who is manipulating through their lobby and who's struck first to drag us into it, who is more to blame. I don't think anybody can disagree. That is Benjamin Netanyahu. Then I've got the latest on the Islamic invasion, the uprisings in Belfast and other areas of the UK. We've got a lot of really interesting studies out that I've already pointed this out. You don't need me to point it out. The development of radio and then TV basically was the biggest linchpin of the family being pulled out. And of oral traditions and basic knowledge and people having hobbies, woodwork, painting, art, literature, music, culture. It turned us into spectators. But now there are studies out on the smartphone reducing the birth rate in the West by half. Since smartphones came in 16 years ago, we have seen the replacement rate in every industrialized country that has ubiquitous adoption of smartphones cut in half. So see, not everything's just fluoride in the water reducing fertility and poison shots reducing fertility and GMO reducing fertility. That's all part of it. But just taking everybody's attention and sucking you in, you see this, you go to a restaurant, everybody's on their smartphones, or most people, all the kids have iPads or tablets, no one's communicating, and it's basically ending human communication. This is a big deal. And more, I'll just take off 4 or 5 days and just clean the house, clean the garage, literally turn my phone off except like 30 minutes a day, which you've not seen me do in decades, not be active. Places like X, people are like, where's Alex? You know, his crew's posting stuff, his guest host are. Where's Alex? It's been 5 days, a few weeks ago. You didn't see one post by me. And it's because I'm like, I've got to detox off this. But I grew up, and I'll get to this more of this later, back when we still had rotary telephones and then touch phones. And I remember just, being 10, 11, 12, we'll meet you at the movie theater, and everybody just had hangouts. It was so much fun. You'd know who'd be there, but people would rendezvous. Now I watch people have these long, constant text message discussions or calls about when they're going to meet, how they're going to do it, exactly how they're going to do it. People don't know how to navigate anything. I remember getting my driver's license and, watching my parents when we went on road trips get out of Atlas, Road Atlas, and my dad would get a highlighter out and where we were going to go, or my mom would, and he'd write, a little notebook about you turn here, you turn there, here's the alternate route. And it was so much fun to do that. And it was discovery, but now you just follow a screen and it all comes off as great. But since the advent of the Texas Instruments calculator in the 70s, by the 80s, you see people's math ability go straight down. The point is, we are building systems, these machines that are extensions of humans, that are dehumanizing us and making us obsolete. So that's coming up. America's baby bust linked to iPhone study shows. Think so? Cutting the number of people being born in half. That's powerful. Think about that. So we'll be getting into all of that information. Also, it's been piling up, and I have a responsibility to play all this, but then there's so many clips, I feel like I'm not showing you everything if I don't show you 100 clips. But I mean, whoa! I've got footage of Islamics murdering, killing, raping everywhere, hundreds of new cases a day. I've got racial attacks killing white people all over the United States because the media is hyping that whites are out hunting down and murdering blacks. And I have all these videos of black university students going, we're being hunted, the whites are all killing us. And it's basically like a non-existent. It's like super rare. But then the media is telling them you're being hunted by whites. And so they're, well, we're going to get the whites. And they're like, we're going to kill all of you now. And you got Jasmine Crockett saying all this stuff, and it's happening. It is just wild. And then meanwhile, 9 out of 10 blacks are killed by what? Blacks. And so again, but they don't care about, I'm not saying all black people, but these particular black people, they literally, if they can just find something to get mad about. Oh, this black teenager stabbed a white teenager to death and he got 35 years in prison, just got his sentencing. And so we're all under attack. Well, yeah, we're all under attack by the GMO and by the smartphones and by the 5G and by the chemtrails. We're all under attack by the mad scientists, the poison shots. But you can literally, I see these black professors and black lawyers all over TV. They have the same talking point, and they give like six examples in the last 5-6 years of blacks wrongfully killed. And in every case, they pulled a gun on a cop or something. I mean, it's like that your whole world is 6 or 7 dead black people because the media told you to be upset. Meanwhile, half the black people are never born because they get killed in the womb by Planned Parenthood. You don't care about millions of dead black people. They care about the emotion of this belief because the liberal media and the universities tell them that the number one threat is black on, is white on black crime. And remember when you had that epidemic still happening of black on Asian crime under Biden, they just ran headlines and PSAs about the record pandemic of whites attacking Asians. And statistically, it just didn't even exist. So I've got that stack. And so much more today. And that ties into universities across the Western world. The, quote, minorities that are the majority in most areas, when you add them all together, are self-segregating. And then a lot of the white folks that are pissed off feel threatened. They said, great, segregate yourselves. You understand when you have a big country like this and half the people aren't white and soon it'll be 70% aren't white and you say they're segregating, they're radicalizing and hating you and being brainwashed and the whites are getting in the same position and that's the divide and conquer. I'm not saying people, they want to separate themselves, shouldn't be able to do it. I'm just simply saying this is part of the larger plan. So that's the divide and conquer strategy. That's all coming up. And a divided house cannot stand. But the first thing I wanted to hit was this. And it isn't about me being vindicated. It's about understanding the thought process and having the sources and knowing the things. If you remember about 5 months into the Trump administration, back in May of last year, Elon gets run out. He says, Trump's in the Epstein files. They're covering it up. I'm not going to be part of this. And then I see Bongino and Patel and all of them coming out saying there's nothing there. Epstein killed himself. He wasn't a human trafficker. He had no accomplices. There was no accomplices at Butler. There was no accomplices in Mar-a-Lago when the guy came to kill Trump. And they look like deer in the headlights on Fox. I said, they've been told to do that by Trump. Because I know whatever they go on Fox News and say is what Trump tells them to do. And so at the time I said, listen, everybody freaking out about this needs to understand Trump's ordered this. People got so mad at me. But about 2 weeks later, Trump starts coming out of press conferences saying, I told them to move on to law enforcement. You can play the clips if you don't remember it. You're not MAGA if you want to look into Epstein. You're an idiot controlled by the Democrats. And I'm like, okay, well, it's mainly Democrats implicated in there. You're actually covering up for them. And I said, this will be super unpopular with your base. So if you're going to cover it up, which I'm not advising you to do, but just from a Machiavellian perspective, shut up about it. Remember that? Like, stop attacking your constituents that are concerned about it. That's going to create a Streisand effect and derail your entire agenda. And I was just wargaming it. I said, it's wrong. It's going to backfire. But I just said, even from their perspective, it's stupid. People spun it and said, Jones is telling Trump, stop drawing attention to it and cover it up. No, I was explaining how, even from his perspective to cover it up, how crazy it was. So why was he doing that? I was looking at every angle. And I told you back then there was a White House freakout. They had cabinet meetings with J.D. Vance running them. I had that from people in the meetings. How many of these cabinet meetings have I first exposed? It's not because I'm the biggest insider. Everyone else is scared to break it. except Tucker. And in some cases, Tucker's told me stuff, because he's now come out with this, so I'm not breaking confidence, and said, yeah, because he was still in the White House and still there. If you gave me a little few little things, I'll leave it at that. But I got it from other people about Cash Patel ordering him, no looking into foreign accomplices in Charlie Kirk's murder last September. No looking at domestic accomplices that were all bragging he'll be dead tomorrow in the town on the tranny sites, tranny message boards, discords. And then, of course, months later came out exactly about the meeting and who was there and what happened. That was from two people in the meeting that said, yeah, just don't give all these specific details, but here's the details, but they'll know it's who it is if you give these. Later, when it starts to come out, you can give them more details. And then I had other sources, obviously, that I'll just leave it at that, that are smart enough to not contact me, but contact Harrison, who also concurred with the analysis. So Harrison was one of the big sources. Remember, Harrison said Charlie Kirk's afraid Israel's going to kill him very soon. He put that on X a month before. And, of course, it wasn't the Easter Bunny gave that information. So my point is that I just dutifully reported to you the truth on Kirk, on Trump, on all of it. So now let me give you the news here, and I'll get to what Tucker had to say. So I'm just waiting for him to just start bringing this stuff out, because for all my sources, he's got 10 times more. Nobody's got the sources he's got. He's got them out the ass, okay? Up one side and down the other. But from all my sources, and it's now all you've seen him do it on TV, say shove about it. Trump killed the Butler investigation into what really happened. He killed the Mar-a-Lago assassination investigation. He ordered Cash Patel to not look into foreign powers involved in the killing of Kirk. This is right around the time Netanyahu was saying, I didn't kill Charlie Kirk, out of the blue sky. And so I'm just going to report the facts. People are like, what are you doing bashing Trump? The Democrats will get him. I'm just going to report the facts just to be done by Evan Small. Plus, it's Trump doing the cover-ups and Trump ordering the Epstein cover-up and Trump launching the war with Israel that killed the economy and boosted inflation. He's the one hurting Trump, not me. Being in some cult and saluting everything and every mistake he makes, everything he does is stupid, and I won't be part of it. So, yeah, put that news headline back up. Tucker Carlson claims terrified Dan Bongino told him shut down Butler assassination investigation himself. 100%. Who do you think? I remember Trump, when it started getting covered up, he's like, well, I think we should look at that. There's some questions. Maybe they're not going to be able to for some other reasons. And I saw Trump then a few months into the cover up last year. That'd been about like July or August. And I went, that's it. He's covering up. He's covering it all up. And then, yes, he's the one, obviously, that told Cash Patel. The reason I know is Patel came in and said, the president wants this. Gabbard, you're not to be involved in internal intelligence, even though that office was set up for 9/11 to coordinate foreign and domestic so that the agencies all share information. So he yelled at Tulsi Gabbard. He yelled at Joe Kent. He said, I'm in charge of intelligence domestically, and you were ordered not to investigate it, and that's under orders of the president. I told you that back in September. The meeting happened 5 days after Charlie was killed. I was on air the day after that cabinet meeting. So there's the inside baseball. So this is a fact. And so you have to ask yourself, why in God's green earth would Trump be doing this? We'll get into that in a moment. But first, here he is. There's Tucker Carlson tomorrow in the fall.
I know that about Butler. I know that Trump shut down the investigation into Butler. That is a fact. Dan Bongino told me that when he worked at the FBI. And Dan Bongino himself was terrified when I spoke to him in December. It's such a long, boring story. But basically, I came into possession, I beg your pardon, of accidentally came into possession of a lot of the social media posts that we were told didn't exist that were posted by Thomas Crooks in the months and years before the shooting. And I was amazed that the FBI had lied about this. So I called Cash Patel and I later called Dan Bongino, and I says, you know, what is this? I'm not attacking you. It was the previous FBI administration that did this. It was Chris Wray, but what is this? And Dan Bongino became hysterical with me on the phone. I've known Dan a long time, for many years, and always gotten along with him. You know, whatever his faults, say, you know, nice guy, nice, certainly very nice to me. I never had a problem with Dan ever. And that problem began when I brought this information to his attention, and he became a different person. He was clearly terrified. I didn't get it at first, but he was hysterical. And ultimately, after a long series of text exchanges, which I still have, and phone conversations, he said, look, take it up with Trump. He's the one who shut down the investigation. And that was, I think, the first or second week of December. I think it was the beginning of the second week of December. I have it written down. But that was the moment, and I realized, oh, wow. You know, there's no good explanation for shutting down an investigation into your own attempted murder. Like, this is not what we've been told it was.
Yeah, we've got to look it up. It's whenever the last time I was on Tucker in the winter at his house in Maine, we had to tape about an hour late. And I barely made my plane in Maine flying out that night, because we were supposed to start taping at like 10 a.m. Tucker and I had breakfast, but he had to get on the phone with Bongino and Trump in his office, which is just right there through the kitchen, you know, right there. He's in there talking to him. I can, you know, hear it through the wall when listening, but I can hear him talking and arguing. And he comes out and he goes, oh, my God, Bongino. He says, it's so crazy. You know, don't tell anybody this, but, yeah, they've ordered a cover-up. And I don't know why Trump would order a cover-up of Butler, but this is just this is a disaster. And he told me a lot more, obviously. But the point is, I've studied Butler. And you don't have them trying to just graze his ear with the best shooter in the world from 150 yards. With Trump weaving around everywhere, and you don't have, obviously, another shooter back towards the water tower. We have the trajectory, we have the shots, the video of the bullet coming in and hitting shirts and bags and hitting a person. Multiple people got shot. One guy died, the firefighter. I mean, but then you have the crew there. It was already a professional crew, so that's what they do, but lowering the flag behind him when it happens and, you know, all being there. They had a Pulitzer Prize-winning photographer there, and it was CNN hadn't covered any of his rallies for years, but they were there at that. But I mean, it looks completely real. Real people got shot. Real brains got blown out. I've seen people's raw private, you know, citizen footage. You can see other bullets coming in from a whole other angle, about 50, 60 degrees from where Crooks was. You got Crooks walking around for 9 minutes on top. Everybody going, he's got a gun. He's got a gun. They told us the Secret Service shot him. They stood down. It was a cop shot him. You have Crooks' whole background, the cleanup of his house, you know, no utensils, no cutlery, you can eat off the floor, them covering up foreign connections that were reportedly in his phone, saying he didn't have all the social media as a leftist, which he did, which they covered up, which later came out. So then what is Trump really doing? Because it just looks real to me and everything happening, but then why would he cover it up? Or did he finally get scared and say, made a deal with Israel or whatever consortium Israel is involved in, did this? And then Charlie Kirk would make a deal, so they deep-sixed his ass. We'll be right back, straight ahead. Powerful information. Stay with us. Plugged for about 90 seconds at the end of the first hour. Didn't plug any last hour. And I raised that point. I'd say, oh, not good, I didn't plug. It's bad I didn't plug. But I didn't want to interrupt that guest. That's how we fund this operation. If I just plugged twice an hour, we've done the math, we'd have plenty of funds around this place. And I can then hire more crew, more stuff. But I don't do it, so we're almost in the red again. So be conscious about this and realize when you fund this operation, you are funding your insurance in the fight against tyranny. And the products really work, because we want to sell you something that is going to be great, that's good for you, that blows you away. So you go, man, that Alex Jones was right again. Not just about what he covers and says, but the products. RT3 iodine is not instant gratification. It takes about 2 weeks on average for it to kick in. It is the missing link. Most people are iodine deficient. The iodine that's in the environment, most of it's bound, meaning it's not atomic. It's not pure on the periodic table. It is bound to a whole bunch of other stuff, and you don't absorb it properly. This is atomic iodine. It does everything. Now, again, you die without oxygen in 4 minutes. Everybody knows this. 4 minutes without oxygen, the average person's dead. Some people quicker. Without water, you die in about 4 days. Out in the desert today, most people die in about 45 days without food. Now, why is that? Because the food has the vitamins and minerals in it. And I know I'm talking to you like you're 5 years old. I know most of you get this, but for others that don't. Iodine, you can look it up, is one of the essential elements that without iodine, you die. Now, in the 1920s, they noticed about a 15-20 point IQ reduction, particularly in the Midwest, and massive spikes nationwide of child deformities, birth defects. And they did a bunch of big government studies and found that people that lived on coastal cities and that ate a lot of fish had higher IQs and basically almost no deformities. And they went, oh, it's the iodine. So they started putting a cheap form that's bound, but you still get some of it, but sodium fluoride, I think it's the one, in the salts. When I was a kid, it still said Morton salts, iodine added. You know, the little girl with the umbrella, and it says when it rains, it pours. This is the super version of that. Just a few drops a day. It takes 2 weeks on average to kick in for the average person. And your skin, your stamina, your libido. I remember, like, gosh, time flies, like 18 years ago or something, I met Dr. Edward Grubb, really smart guy, total visionary. And he said, listen, you need to start taking atomic iodine. And he'd come out with the only one. And he said, you should sell this private label. And I said, okay. He said, you know, you got some of those sunspots on your face. And I was like 38 then or so. And I didn't have bad skin, but I did have some sunspots, brown spots and stuff that weren't freckles. You know, I call them liver spots. And he said, all this other stuff will happen, your libido, everything. He goes, it's about 2 weeks for it to kick in. And right at about the 2 week mark of the average person, you'll kind of feel crappy for a day or two. It's not like you have a cold or the flu, but you kind of, it's still kind of groggy and tired. That's when it shifts in the cells, the mitochondria. And then a lot of toxins will get pushed out. You might even break out or something. But he said, after that, you'll feel incredible. 2 weeks later, I go, man, I feel like crap today. I have no energy. Lasts about a day. And then when I woke up the next day after feeling sick the day before, it was like I'd been carrying, you know, one of my kids on my shoulders. I'd carry them, you know, they were like 5 or 6 sometimes. It'd be exhausting, but you take them off your shoulders, it feels so good. That's what it felt like. You're insane if you don't get this, and it funds our operation. And I only sell stuff that works, but it's not instant gratification. 2 weeks. Now be careful with it. Talk to your physician before, because if you've got some different thyroid issues, it can cause problems. In most cases, it helps, but you talk to your physicians. This isn't a game. And so a small percentage of people that can do some weird stuff. So be careful. This isn't, I'm not selling placebo here. I only sell stuff that kick you like a mule in a good way. Be conscious about this and realize when you fund this operation, you are funding your insurance in the fight against tyranny.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
It's a reliable source of information. 50,000 unstoppable watts. Anthrax and radio and the car.
You better look out. I'm going to go ahead in the third hour today while I take calls. I'm going to go ahead and reveal who was behind Cube and how they tried to recruit me into it and then what happened to it, just because it needs to be done. And I'm going to have Kurt Metzger on next week, who on his own discovered this, so it's now out. So I'm not breaking any confidence now that this is out. And the jury's out on whether it was bad or good when it was first started. I'm not making judgments about the people involved in the White House. It's just that I'm not going to sit on information like this when it's starting to come out. Now the people saying it, you know, are speculating, but they're right. Kurt Metzger. So I'm going to get to that, because it's important to understand who really has been around, who has the sources, who's giving you accurate information. Tucker Carlson, myself, and others, but nobody compared to Tucker. Nobody's been more accurate. Nobody's got the sources he's got. Okay? I mean, Trump literally for a while, just years, whatever Tucker said, and Tucker was just, it was exhausting, was just constantly battling with Netanyahu and the Israel lobby behind the scenes to get Trump to continue to do the right thing and not start this war and all the rest of it. So that's why this is such a big deal. And I just played the clip, I'm going to play it again, of Tucker with Mario Nafal. And, of course, Tucker says, I know this is boring backstory. No, it's not. Why don't you give them more? Because he gave me a lot of it. And I had it from separate sources confirming a lot of what he said. So Trump ordered the Epstein cover-up. Hell, he went public and said, don't look at it, you're not MAGA. Weeks after I said, I'm told it's Trump doing this, that ordered Bongino and ordered Patel to go out and fall on their sword like they're in the headlights in that famous Fox interview, and then go around and do a podcast tour on Joe Rogan, Theo Von, you name it, and say, no, he acted alone. He wasn't a child trafficker, even though his girlfriend, you know, was in prison for it, and he committed suicide, and you know, oh, we're going to show you the footage, and they edit the video out of him at the federal detention center. So it is Trump covering up his own assassination attempt in Butler, ordering a cover-up of what really happened a few weeks later in Florida at Mar-a-Lago with the shooter who's now been convicted. Trump, no, don't, Tulsi Gabbard, Joe Kent, National Counterterrorism Center, don't look into the information you've got about foreign involvement, foreign government, or any domestic help. Then I talked to the TPUSA, very high level, and they said, yeah, we talked to Patel about it. What about these 10 people in the days before? 3 days before, the day, 2 days before, and the day of. Six the day before, three the 2 days before, and three, the, or two before. It was a total of 10. Say, he'll be dead when he comes to town to give that speech. And that day, see, I told you we killed him. Like, why aren't you hauling these people in? I was like, God, it's trannies. Look, they said they'd do it. Here they are. He's dead. You got this famous globalist deep state operative popping up saying, I shot him. I've shot him. I'm the shooter. And he said to the police, oh, I did that so the shooter can get away. And then that gets swept under the rug. I'm just like, whoa, what's going on here? Then I get calls, people in the cabinet meeting that Patel's like, I have this from the president. You want to hear from him? That's fine. Susie Wiles is in there. They're all in there. J.D. Vance. We are killing this investigation. There is not going to be any looking into foreign involvement or these other people that said he'd be dead. No accomplices will be looked at. And they told TPUSA, so I told TPUSA people, and I was trying to work with them. I was having an open mind at that point. I was like, you got to talk to Patel and people. You got to ask them about this, why they're not looking at the 10 trannies and supporters that said he'll be dead when he comes to town in a couple days. And who celebrated and said, within minutes of him being dead, saying, see, we told you he'd be dead. And so they did talk to Patel. Patel said, well, we probably can't convict him, and so we're just going to move on from that. What? So that's all directly from people in the cabinet meeting, TPUSA, all of it. And when I was getting pissed at Candace Owens when she was going with Mitch Snow, a known con man, with these crazy stories about Fort Huachuca and 12 colonels, and he gets in the meeting and they're planning and all, I was just like, that's not how murder planning, assassination planning happens. This guy's a known con artist, convicted of it, all this stuff. I said, what about Patel and ordering the stand down? What about saying no foreign involvement, killing that? I mean, we had like real stuff. I was like, Candace, please look at this. I think she's overall a good person. I shouldn't have got so mad when her surrogates, probably not even her orders, came after me and said I was a Mossad operative and all that. I was just like, no, let's go after the real stuff. And then as I continue to say, it looks like Israel was involved. People go, oh, you changed your story. No, I never said that. I just said, you can't 2 days into it say it's Israel. We got to investigate. And then I got the information 6 days after from the cabinet meeting. And then TPUSA, I said, ask Patel this question when you talk to him. And then they did. And I mean, that's directly from these people. You notice I've been saying this for a long time since it happened. You notice none of them came out and said Alex Jones is lying. But Bongino has come out and said Tucker is not telling the truth. And he has the same formula. Oh, I thought he was good, but I tell you, over the years, I learned how bad he was. And he, you know, Bongino is a liar. Bongino a few months ago said, I was a guest on Alex Jones' show like 10 years ago. And during the break, he said, I want you to lie to my audience. Let's tell a lie. He didn't say what the lie is. He doesn't say, he just says, Jones asked me to lie. And then he doesn't say whether he went on the air and lied or not. I mean, I'm watching that and I'm like, dude, that is 100% a lie. Because I have guests on via Skype back then. Skype's gone now, you know, Zoom. Bongino was usually on phone. All my producers that were here at the time, John Harmon, all of them were there. They're like, you've never told a guest something like that. We send an email to a guest or call them and say, we want you on these subjects. I usually don't even talk to a guest before they come on. I mean, the idea that I would go on the phone and say, hey, before you come on, let's tell a lie. And he's like, well, I don't like to lie to people. Oh, they don't care. Let's lie to them. But he doesn't say what the lie was, doesn't say what the story was. He is a lying, false witness scumbag. So you say, well, then why do you believe when he told Tucker that Trump ordered to stand down and not look at Butler? Because we already knew that. And we already knew Trump ordered to not look at Epstein. I said, clearly it was him. My sources said it was him. And then a week and a half later, he comes out and says, you're not MAGA if you look at it. Don't look at it. I've ordered the FBI to stop investigating it. Tucker Carlson claims terrified Dan Mongino told him Trump shut down Butler assassination investigation. Well, you haven't heard Trump complain that never went anywhere. Yes, he did. Now, the next big question is, why would Trump do that? And I've used this analogy 100 times, but you walk into some furniture store, you know, you walk into a mall, whatever, and you see a table with a bowl of pears and grapes and oranges on it. And from 30 feet away, you just look and you can tell it's fake. You just know what's fake. And when I watch Butler, the best sniper in the world when Trump's moving all around, can't just graze his ear like that. And it clearly, it's even on the video, the bullet going by. People got shot behind him. You can see another shooter and it picked up acoustically. I had third-party experts on. You can see the bullet coming through, hitting clothes and bags and then hitting a person. But then you got Green Berets, who's a really smart journalist, Michael Yon, saying he thought the whole thing was completely fake. I don't know. But I do know that Trump ordered it covered up. And he ordered Epstein covered up and Epstein's so-called suicide assassination covered up. And now you have Tucker Carlson telling you that Mongino told him that Trump ordered it covered up. And Tucker said in confidence, he's like, yeah, sorry, you know, God, he calls me constantly. I just had to talk to Mongino. And Trump, you called earlier. Sorry, we're getting started late. Yeah, there. You know, don't quote me on this yet, but my God, this is crazy. I'm just trying to stop him doing a war, but it's Trump. He's ordering it all shut down. And I'm like, well, that's killing him with his base. It's crazy. Why? He goes, I know. And now Tucker's publicly talked about it. And he told me a lot more, but I'm not going to say it till he says it. So we have to ask what happened. I don't know. 99% of what I do is just news, information, analysis of that. I'm not the conspiracy theorist. That's everybody else that just speculate all day. But we have to speculate here and ask, why is Trump doing it? Did he finally get the message of Butler? Did he go ahead and join Israel or that lobbyer or the military industrial complex at that point? I don't know. Because I saw the left going, oh, if you're hit by this big bullet, they show a whole 223 casing and bullet. They don't even know that that's not fired out of the gun. It's just the 22 caliber rifle bullet. And they go, this hits your ear. You don't, no. When something grazes you, and he had the little cut there. They go, oh, well, it's, you know, it healed so quick, the little notch. Well, that's how ears are. I've never been shot with a bullet from a firearm, but I happened to get shot by a 22 caliber pellet when I was 10 or 11 years old. And it went in my ear, blasted out the back. Some of the lead stayed, so I had like a gray spot for a while. It's pretty much, can't see it now. But it bled like a stuck pig. But when it was done bleeding, that little hole closed up. And a week later, you couldn't even see other than the gray from the lead that stayed there. And like one time I was like second or third grade and fell down the stairs. And I was a nerdly kid. For whatever reason, I liked a pocket protector with my pins and my, I had a pocket protector, literally like Urkel. I just, one was laying around free from some business or something I'd had it and got it from. And I just, oh, I like pins. So I'm like, you know, stick it in my little shirt going to private school, my little Christian, you know, button up shirt with a tie and all that, a little pocket protector. And I've got my pins and my pencil and I stumble and fall. The pencil stuck in my chest, graphite, pull it out. And I, you can't see it now because I'm older, but I've still got a little gray spot from that where we know where the graphite was. So looked to me like it was real. And then the way Trump was all freaked out and the way it all went down, I mean, that was Al Pacino can't act that good in 10 takes. He's probably one of the best actors ever. Marlon Brando can't do it. So to me, it looks real. But then why would you cover it up? And that is, well, because you went ahead and made a deal at that point. But regardless, we know he's covering it up. He's in charge. Where's the investigation? Where's the information? It's shut down. Bongino did all those shows, Battelle, how it was an inside job, and the shooter, and the other shooter, and all the evidence, all true. We were all over that as well. I didn't just believe them. I investigated myself. Hell, I had that stuff out before they did. My point is, it's not about, oh, I had it first. I mean, I was already on it. I already knew what they said was true. Then they 180 and say, oh, Epstein killed himself, and he had no accomplices, and you know, there's no accomplices at Butler and yada, 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 yada. And he wasn't a leftist, even though they were covering up all the social media that later came out. So there is a cover-up, and we have to ask the question, why? And then Trump changes course in the last 14 months or so and gets worse and worse and worse and worse and does everything he can to discredit the Republicans and to make statements like, I love inflation. I don't care about any American's financial problems. I don't care about your Medicare and Medicaid. Why would you say that? So it's a serious situation. So let's finish this clip, play it again, because I want it on record, of Tucker, which is 100% on record. Trump already covered it up, just like Epstein. Don't question Epstein. You're not MAGA. And then I got a new clip of Grok being asked about Charlie Kirk's assassination. We'll get to that in a moment, but first, here's Tucker Carlson again.
I know that about Butler. I know that Trump shut down the investigation into Butler. That is a fact. Dan Bongino told me that when he worked at the FBI. And Dan Bongino himself was terrified when I spoke to him in December. It's such a long, boring story, but basically I came into possession, I beg your pardon, accidentally came into possession of a lot of the social media posts that we were told didn't exist that were posted by Thomas Crooks in the months and years before the shooting. And I was amazed that the FBI had lied about this. So I called Kash Patel and I later called Dan Bongino and I says, you know, what is this? I'm not attacking you. It was the previous FBI administration that did this. It was Chris Wray, but what is this? And Dan Bongino became hysterical with me on the phone. I've known Dan a long time for many years and always gotten along with him. You know, whatever his faults, say, you know, nice guy. Nice, certainly very nice to me. I never had a problem with Dan ever. And that problem began when I brought this information to his attention and he became a different person. He was clearly terrified. I didn't get it at first, but he was hysterical. And ultimately, after a long series of text exchanges, which I still have, and phone conversations, he said, look, take it up with Trump. He's the one who shut down the investigation. And that was, I think, the first or second week of December. I think it was the beginning of the second week of December. I have it written down. But that was the moment and I realized, oh, wow, you know, there's no good explanation for shutting down an investigation into your own attempted murder. Like, this is not what we've been told it was.
Absolutely. And again, looks real to me. Real people wounded, real people killed. I talked to folks, people I know that were there, weren't in the government. I mean, they were bloody. There were people getting their heads blown off. Firefighter, you know, you name it, getting shot. all of it looked real to me. But, I mean, maybe he's the greatest actor in history. One take. They all did it. Anything goes now? Because there is a cover-up. So what changed? I'm going to open the phones up in the third hour on that subject. And where do you think we go from there? Because this is mind-blowing. Now, here is Jimmy Dore, and there's another talk show host who's been saying since day one he thinks Kirk's alive. I like this other guy. I want to get him on as a guest. Talking about asking Grok, looking at what happened to Charlie Kirk on September 10th last year, and what Grok had to say. Grok says it's a squib. It's those packs they have in movies where you pull the gun and it sends a radio signal out, so bang, it looks real, and then it pops and fake blood comes out. Didn't look like fake blood. You know, the stuff in Hollywood isn't spewing out of a, wasn't a tube sticking up, comes right out of his neck. Looks real to me. But obviously a 30-odd-6 would go straight through. A lot of people said early on, including Sean Johnson, who's a good buddy of mine, and you know, Navy SEAL, demolitions expert, munitions expert, firearms expert, trainer. He said the first week, he said, I think Kirk's alive. That doesn't look real to me. I think it was a squib. I think it was a stunt deal. The way they all grab him, the way they all don't look concerned, the way they grab the cameras. He thought, and all his security guys, Delta Force, Army Special Operations, Navy SEALs, he said that was their consensus. And I just said, I just don't see him pulling off something that wild. I mean, that is ballsy, man, in public with one take to stage something like that. I said, maybe they had an exploding lapel microphone pack and it fired some type of projectile up into his neck or it malfunctioned. Why did the FBI order all the concrete scooped out and the new concrete put in? Well, they said, a lot of experts said maybe it didn't detonate right and shot something else in the ground. Well, why would you then dig everything out? I mean, all we know is there's cover-up central going on, ordering, nobody looking at foreign involvement. That's all confirmed. There is a cover-up going on. I don't know exactly the details. We can get lost in that all day, but there is a cover-up. I don't think anybody can disagree with me on that. And so I'm just here reporting it. So here's part of this Jimmy Dore Grok analysis, and I went and did it myself. It's exactly what Grok has to say. It doesn't mean Grok's God, but it's looking at all the angles and, you know, kind of scooping from the research, and that's where we already came to. But I'm just like, can't totally prove it, so I've had some guests on that speculated, but this is wild. Here it is.
So apparently someone asked Grok what Grok thinks of the assassination, and let's hear what came back.
Grok had a lot to say. I'm just going to show you a little bit of it. Here's some of the conclusions of what most likely happened. This is according to Grok. From this frame by frame and waveform, I mean sound, so they, Grok analyzed the sound too of the from this frame by frame and waveform review of real time footage, the incident appears to be a deliberate onstage staging or hit using a concealed pneumatic device, likely a compressed gas or chemical puncture integrated into Kirk's mic pack or under his shirt rig. Rather than a remote sniper strike, the chest outlines pre-positioned rigidity, the fabric channeled blood release, low volume, no pulsation or mist, with vapor precursor, the shirt's internal shear without skin level puncture, and the high-pitched pop, lack of echo / propellant signature, all point to an internally triggered rupture, possibly a blood simulant packet or auto-injector breached for visual effect.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay, so it's possibly a blood simulant package or auto-injector breached for visual effect. Oh, my God. You're kidding.
That's Jesse on fire. By the way, Jesse, we've emailed you for a few weeks. I don't know if you're checking the email. We want you on as a guest. I know you're a big fan. We like you, too. Come on the show. All right, we're going to go to break. I'm going to come back with Anthony Cumia, the most censored, vindicated comic by the political correct folks. He's coming up. Then we're going to have Michael Yon popping in because he's been saying that Butler didn't happen. It was all staged. And we'll look at that. And then we'll also take some calls. Then I'm also going to get into the origins of Q. Directly from who's founded it. They tried to recruit me. I'm just going to get it out there because it's in the Epstein emails. It's all hidden in plain view. That is all coming up on today's powerful transmission. Remember, you're the Paul Revere's, the way we reach new people that is so key in this fight. It's the mission is take the live feed from Real Alex Jones or AJN Live at AJN Live on X. Share it and say, here's the forbidden information. He's covering these incredible topics right now. Please watch, please share, and tell those you share it to share it. That triggers the chain reaction. Tell those you share it to share it. Those you tell to share it with others. Tell them to share it. Pass it forward. Pay it forward. That's the real chain reaction power of humans that overrides the AI and the sensors. And follow us on Rumble. It's free. Just subscribe. Get all the free feeds, all the stuff. Rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. That's the new coordinates. The Alex Jones Show Live. And you can go to alexjoneslive.com, the mothership website with the video feeds, the audio feeds, our in-house feed, the Rumble feed, the X feeds. It's all there. The forbidden information at alexjoneslive.com. Now, Bigly took 2 years to do this, our great sponsor. I'm not bitching. It's amazing. They got the highest rated. We've published the studies, showed it to you, the big third-party testing firms. The highest quality, gravity-fed filters, cuts out all the thousands of different forever chemicals like atrazine and glyphosate to non-detectable levels, meaning zero, basically. Can't detect it. That's the highest rating with the most beautiful stainless steel. 3 gallon system. You can get the stand if you want to. A lot of people don't even need the stand. Looks great in your kitchen. Great at your business. But the most important thing is it cuts all these toxins out. This is the number one thing you should do for your family, for people, your coworkers. This is no more bottled water. No more. You dump swamp water in this, pool water, whatever. It cuts everything out. And it funds the operation. Everybody needs one of these. This is a home run. I am so impressed because I've been bitching at Bigly. Like 2 years ago when we started, I go, hey, we need this. Here's the ratings. This is the highest thing. I want stainless steel. You can go out and find the company, the manufacturers. I want the highest quality, lowest price. They're selling crap. They don't even have the good filters. This isn't even stainless steel. It's plastic. For more than this, get yours now, thealexjonesstore.com. Commit to yourself to get the poisons out of the water. It's one of the biggest moves you can make to take control of your life, and it funds this operation. Order it now at thealexjonesstore.com. Take action. And there's a big sale that's going to end Sunday night at midnight, and that is Ultimate Life Force, the ultimate spike protein cardiovascular booster for everybody. That is 50% off. Bunch of other deals. They're going to end soon at thealexjonesstore.com. Widest selection of Patriot apparel and more. And the live feeds of the show are at thealexjonesstore.com as well. We'll be right back with hour number two with Anthony Cumia. Stay with us.
Hi, folks. Doc Bigly here. And today we're going to get to know our H2O. Billy, what kind of water do you drink?
Why, tap water, of course. Ma says it keeps my teeth sparkly white.
I'm sorry to say it, Billy, but your mother is either plain ignorant or worse, a communist. Let me explain.
Tap water used to be safe to drink, but communist subversives in our government introduced fluoride into our nation's tap under the guise of dental health, when in reality, fluoride lowers your IQ, calcifies your pineal gland, and makes you susceptible to anti-capitalist mind viruses.
So you're telling me I'm a sap if I drink tap?
Yes, you are, Billy. Yes, you are. But don't despair. We've found a solution. Follow me. I'd like to tell you a tale of two frogs. Frog number one has only ever drank unfiltered tap water, chock full of fluoride. Observe him listening to satanic music, abusing substances, and engaging in other perversions.
Look, Doc, they're trying to play leapfrog. They're pretty bad at it, though.
Avert your eyes, Billy. Let's continue.
Meanwhile, frog number two has only ever drank water that has been filtered for fluoride and other impurities. What a happy frog family.
Spill the secret, Doc. How do you get rid of the communist poisons?
With the new water filter system from the alexjonesstore.com.
Say, Doc, may I have a glass?
Why, certainly. Well, that's just swell. No water in the water filter. Listen, I'm not mad at the crew, but I asked for real water in here 30 minutes ago and never got it.
Crew's in trouble again.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Anthony Cumia, one of the most censored and vindicated comics in the world, joins us at 6 after in just 6 minutes. But first, John Bounds filed a new report that's very important. There's only a few globalist mouthpieces left, a few puppets left. They're discredited. Their ratings are gone, but they still stand in the way of our recovery. Here's his report on the globalist puppets that stand in the way of America taking back control of its destiny.
Now we have a country that wants to build nuclear weapons and blow us off the face of the earth. And I personally am getting sick and tired of people saying, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? What do you mean, why are we doing this? You think we just picked Iran out of a hat? What have we become here? For me to take a position like this, I'm a warmonger, I'm Israel first.
Mr. Levin, Israel's, Netanyahu's Mossad plan didn't work. We were right.
And was never successful in television at all. Right. And Hannity got him that job on the weekends. It never rated. It doesn't rate now. Nobody watched it just because he's not good.
You guys are reviled. And you want to hitch your wagon up to us and have us go off on your kamikaze mission for greater Israel.
The only impediment, the only obstacle to this beautiful vision is Hezbollah. They want war, not peace. They want death, not life. They will sacrifice as many of you as possible to achieve their sick aims. Don't let your future be dictated by medieval theocrats hell-bent on destroying our common civilization.
The whole world's turned against you. It's time to accept the gains you got blowing up most of Iran's equipment and their proxy armies. And you've got all your industry and per capita, you're the richest country in the world. We're falling apart. You should just shut up and go quiet and hope everybody moves on. But we know you're not going to do that. You're going to false flag to play victim. You're going to demonize your political opposition. You're going to continue to control Congress.
Who do you care about more, the American people or Israel? American people or Israel, sir? Who do you care about more, the American people or Israel? No answer?
Who do you care about more, the American people or Israel? American people or Israel, sir?
Who do you care about more, the American people or Israel? Well, who do you care about more? American people or Israel, sir? Who do you care about more, the American people or Israel? American people or Israel, sir? Is it so hard to say you care about the American people who you're here to serve?
I'm trying to ask all members I can this question, very simple. Who do you care about more, the American people or Israel?
American people.
You are the first to have given me that answer, sir. Thank you.
Yep. American people, number one, man.
You're going to continue to primary people. You're going to continue to go around terrorizing everybody with the ADL, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and it's just... it's going to end in total disaster. I'm like the FBI with a bullhorn talking to the bank robbers that have got hostages saying, you're already in a lot of trouble. You want to spend 20 years in prison or do you want to have the SWAT team come in?
Come on out, Sonny.
And then even if you survive, you're going to end up on death row at the Supermax. Right. Come on. Come on out. Come on. Put the gun down. Come on, Ben-Gavir, Netanyahu. Stop it. You can stop doubling down now. You have somehow taken the Islamics that used to be the most unpopular people in the world and turned them into victims. What a spectacular job you've done. You know, Israel prides itself on thinking long term. Well, you've not been thinking long term or second, third, fourth, fifth order effects. Because if you did, you'd listen to all the former Mossad chiefs that are living and almost every former top general, they've all gone public for over a year saying Netanyahu is going to trigger a giant war that will end up destroying Israel. So for all of you Israel worshipers, you Christian Zionists, and you low-grade moron Zionists, and all the rest of you idiots, if I really had it out for the Jews and I really wore secret Hitler underwear, I would be egging you on right now and telling you you're doing a great job. Napoleon said never interrupt your enemy when they're making a mistake. Well, I'm not your damn enemy. I am an enemy of your psychotic leaders that are out of their minds and who know that if they don't keep a war going, they're going to prison. And I don't like being held hostage by Ben Yavir and Netanyahu. You like being held hostage by him? You got Stockholm Syndrome? You just go be mentally ill over there.
Thanks for having me. Before I start, wanted to pitch a couple of the products there for the listeners. The bovine colostrum's been fantastic. My mom had tremendous results, similar to the results your mom had with her hair and skin. Methylene Blue, the mental clarity, the focus has been amazing. I just found that I just needed to up the dose a little bit from the recommendation, and then that really hit. So definitely helps to support the broadcast. Alex, the reason you're so successful and the reason so many people chime in is because you have the best guests. That does include Victor Boot, but I will reference the legendary Gerald Celente. What does he say time after time? When there's nothing left, they take us to war.
The bovine colostrum is incredible. The Methylene Blue, you fund us. You're our funders, not the Israelis or the Muslims or the Russians or the U.S. government. You fund us at thealexjonesstore.com. And the new news site for all the feeds and articles is alexjoneslive.com. And on Rumble, rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. We'll be right back.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance, rallying patriots worldwide. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Kumi is our guest for the balance of the hour. Had the top radio show in the country, was it 10 years ago? And he got taken off the air because he dared talk about the record level 20-1 conservatively black on white crime. And of course now that's everywhere. And so I wanted to talk about the Carmelo Anthony case, where, I mean, if a white guy stabs some black guy to death like this and got convicted, why do I even care? But, oh, you'd think it was a new George Floyd. And I've got countless videos of not just black leaders and lawyers, but Jasmine Crockett saying, yeah, we should have stabbed him. You know, he deserved it. And then all these everyday whites being executed, killed, murdered, raped. And then it's covered up by the media. This country, and you see the same stuff in Europe using the Muslims. It's the same leftist divide and conquer. But their attempts to censor the truth are failing. Ed Anthony Cumia on X. Be sure and follow him there. Longtime radio personality, comedian, co-founder of the Opie and Anthony Show, known for his unfiltered humor, sharp wit, and love of classic rock, an apologetic voice for free speech, and a proud New Yorker. And he joins us to go over it all. But obviously then, Iran war, Trump, why was he going sideways? What does he see in the midterms? How do we navigate, obviously not supporting Democrats and supporting good Republican candidates, but also how do we deal with what's been happening with Trump? And so much more here today with Anthony Cumia. Anthony, thanks for being here.
Great, Alex. Good to see you, man. Glad you snapped right back after that crap that went down and were able to enjoy your show. So good to be here and yap with you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, all the radio stations picked us up even more. And we're rebuilding at alexjoneslive.com. And still, the Onion didn't get the company's just shut down. The judge ordered the receiver no power, so technically I could still be over there doing the show. But then there's all this other stuff going on, and I'm just like, I mean, it's just crazy. Remember 2 years ago when they said they owned it the first time? It was all a fraud. So the fact that, you know, we've pulled back, they're in a lot of trouble. I'll just leave it at that.
Great.
It just shows what frauds these people are. But I didn't want to bring myself up here, but you were censored even before I was. So I was kind of patient zero for that big wave that started in 2017, but but they really came after you, and that's why I say you've been vindicated, because everything you talked about back then, you weren't supposed to touch that, but you did and got fired.
It was the hot button, man. You know, thank God they didn't sue me for billions and billions of dollars like other people. But yeah, I lost my job at SiriusXM Satellite Radio. It was 2014. And I was taking some pictures out in Times Square late at night, And a black woman walked up and started belting me in the face. And what was I going to do? I walked away from the situation. I'm not going to get involved. I was armed. I was legally allowed to carry a gun in New York City at that time. I never for a second thought my life was being threatened to the point where I needed to use deadly physical force. So I didn't even think of pulling my gun. I took some belts to the face from this woman and went back to my apartment. And instead of using physical violence on this woman, I used my voice, my social media platforms. And on Twitter at the time, Twitter, I said that this woman in particular, individually, I said she was being a savage, which she was. I called her the C word that women don't like being called. And I said that I hoped that next time she did this, if someone was armed like I was and used unbelievable, intellect and smarts and knowing the difference between deadly physical force and not using deadly physical force, said I, if that ever happens to her again, I would hope the guy would dispatch her. And then here was my big mistake, Alex. I decided to do a little social commentary that same evening and said, you know, there really seems to be this jump to violence in the black community. If it's a perceived disrespect, you bump somebody, you say something that they're offended by, there seems to be this free rein to just beat the crap out of the person. So I posted that. And before you know it, SiriusXM Satellite Radio, my bosses fired me. The media picked up on the story and said that I was fired for my racist tirade. And even at the time, I wasn't saying anything that black clergymen weren't saying, black entertainers in Hollywood. It was all this, you know, silence the violence. We need to protect our kids. I was just saying the same thing they were saying. Well, you can't say it if you're not of a certain skin color. So I was fired. I was persona non grata in the industry. And I built a lifeboat for myself with Compound Media in my own basement of my house. I built a studio and I continued. It's a dozen years later. I'm still going. I have a job now on 77 WABC radio in New York City on Sunday nights. And I have, as you said, I feel I have been vindicated. More people are coming forward. They feel more compelled to say what I said 12 years ago, that there is a problem. It needs to be addressed. People are kind of waking up to it and saying, look, something needs to be done. We can't just refer to people as teens when there's hundreds of them ravaging a neighborhood. Businesses, amusement parks, and what have you. These black on white murders are in record numbers, and everyone just wants to turn a blind eye to it and what, say it's part and parcel with living in a big city? No, it's not. It doesn't have to be. It never was. But now people have been so afraid to speak out because it's cost them, like me, their job. And there were only a few brave people that would speak out. Well, now it's gotten so out of control. It's so ludicrous these days that people feel compelled. They have to speak out. And you're seeing a lot more people saying this has to be dealt with. Something needs to be done. And now with the Carmelo Anthony trial, and we saw what happened and the insanity that you see with some people in the black community, a lot more people have opened their eyes and said, wow, I never realized how, you know, bat crap crazy a lot of these people are that are defending a murderer, Carmelo Anthony. So, yeah, I feel vindicated about what happened a dozen years ago with me. And not that I feel good about it, because it only means things have gotten worse. And, you know, I would like to see things get better for our country.
Well, that's what I was going to say next is I am seeing a lot of black folks come out against it really strongly and saying, stop discrediting, you know, us. But I mean, it's true. You got on average about 20 to 1 the crime. It's a very small demographic, like 14 to about 26. Black males, some of the females are involved. And there are thugs and, you know, white and Hispanic too, but the number is so low that it's always called, you know, teen takeovers, or it's called street parties. And it goes on everywhere. Our own reporter was killed by a black guy and a Hispanic guy, both a Mexican supremacist, black supremacist, bragged about how he killed that, you know, killed that white guy and all the rest of it just for no reason. And the point is that then you turn on the news and they're like, the record crime is white supremacists. And I watch the Carmelo Anthony crazy crowds out there and they're saying, they're killing us. They're the white supremacists. They're murdering us everywhere. And they just literally believe that there's like white Hitlers under every chair killing them. And then the same thing in Europe, covering up the Muslim attacks, you know, 90% of the crime, the rape, and the Muslims have this thing about stabbing babies in baby carriages. And if you talk about it, and then finally the Irish get pissed off and fight back, and now they're all terrorists. I mean, this is not going well. The point is, the left had people bullied. They had, I mean, you had, I mean, I'm not, I mean, I remember your show was obviously the top two or three shows. I mean, it was number one routinely in the country year after year. I would come on as a guest. We'd have some fun and boom. Oh, yeah. So when they cancel a show that's number one, folks, that is a big deal. But you were sacrificed on the ultra political correctness to send a message for everybody else to shut up. So not just that you're vindicated, their censorship at the end of the day failed. And I wouldn't call it a point of pride with myself that their attempt to shut me down failed. It's a point of survival and satisfaction. It's better than pride. It's like being held underwater and you finally get up and get oxygen. It's like living. It's like it's survival. It's the best feeling.
Yeah, I mean, we had to do something. I wasn't ready to pull out my tools when I used to do HVAC work and start climbing a ladder at my age because, well, I guess I lost my broadcasting job. You know, you got to get back out there, and this is what we do. I love doing it, and I wasn't going to have a bunch of people that don't know who I am, don't know anything about context or what we talk about, and toss me to the wayside to disappear forever. That just wasn't going to happen. And like I said, we're seeing other people waking up and being able to speak. I think Elon Musk had a lot to do with that, buying Twitter, turning it into X.
He broke the dam because it was already happening, but he saw it happening. He broke the dam.
Yes. If you look back to Twitter, especially during the 2020 election campaign, they had wiped out everybody that was speaking out against liberals, communists, the politically correct that were canceling everybody. Gone. And when you look at the impact that social media had in the 2016 election, when Trump was first elected, it was amazing. And they couldn't replicate it because they're incapable of actually connecting with sane people. So they said, what are we going to do? We can't have this happen again in 2020. So they just started chopping off the heads of every conservative, every Republican, every right wing personality that had a voice on social media. Facebook was doing the same thing. So when Elon bought Twitter and turned it into X, we all started getting our accounts back. Mine was gone. My account was gone for 10 years. And then it was brought back under my original name, Anthony Cumia on X. Gavin McInnes, good friend of mine and business associate, he got his account back. And a lot of other people that were considered a pariah, right-wing extremists, Nazis, they got their accounts back. And you're seeing those people started speaking up. They were speaking their mind about what was going on. And a lot of other people that were on the sidelines, kind of on the fence, started saying, you know, I want to speak up about this too. And we're seeing that right now.
I totally agree.
On the heels of this Carmelo Anthony trial, people are pissed. They don't like the fact that there are a lot of people in the black community and the Carmelo Anthony family and associates that you watch them and you would absolutely believe Carmelo Anthony was in the ground and Austin Metcalf had killed him. That's the perception you would get watching them. It's insulting. It's disgusting to watch how they victimize themselves when there's a young white man dead, buried in the ground, and they're the victims for it.
Adam. And I'm sure you've seen it, but countless videos of black people randomly attacking white people, even in other states, saying this is for Carmelo Anthony. What the hell is that?
It makes no sense to a civil society. When you watch, I watch these videos, you know, you probably do too, show prep. You know, you got to know what's going on in the world. And I have seen such disgusting videos, just insulting a dead child's family.
Oh, no, the main thing is peeing on his grave now. And we're talking about prominent black leaders are posting images, you know, Photoshopped of them, AI peeing on his grave. And then you've got the mother saying, no, my son's the victim, not the guy he killed. And it's just like, this is like crazy, but you nailed it. It's like Carmelo Anthony is in the ground. It's crazy.
Yeah. You would assume that. And then if you try to criticize St. George of Floyd or Mike, Hands Up, Don't Shoot Brown over the course of the years, you are painted as a horrible white supremacist, Nazi skinhead. There are plenty of things they call you. Yet we're looking at memes of urinating on this innocent kid who, like any other kid, you know, maybe you're territorial with your friends. They're under that tent. Inconsequential, by the way, as far as this trial went. It was probably the worst case of self-defense I'd ever seen. There was not, you know, you look at self-defense cases, you really have to convince that jury that if they were sitting there, they would have perceived that that was a deadly threat to them, and they would have had to kill somebody in order to walk away from that situation alive. It just was never that.
By the way, they had his black teammates. They had his black teammates on, you know, the guy, the man he killed, the young man he killed, saying, no, all he did was shove him once. So the point is that now, without even looking, if I wanted to demonize black people, it'd be so easy by cherry picking this. Like you said, I see hundreds of clips a day of it, and I see these murder cases. I mean, this just happened a few days ago. Two guys who shot and killed Billy Schmidt, a 22-year-old Penn State student, and, you know, here they are, you know, it's two young black guys. And this is just literally, wasn't even for his phone. It's just, let's go kill a white person. This is real serial killer stuff going on. We hear about serial killers that are targeting women. And then another one will start copycatting him. And then you have the trans people out doing serial killing now. It's like the left says, these are the bad guys. And then these groups go out. And there's this footage of Calvin Crew, 25. This is a woman. She's got four kids. She's 36 years old, driving a Lyft or Uber. And she begs for her life, and he pulls over and shoots her in the head for no reason. And you hear him cold-bloodedly talking to her. Imagine if, because there's crazy white people too, which is statistically not as much as a particular group. Imagine if a crazy white guy did this to a black woman. I'd want his ass dead. But at the same time, but the cities would be burning though. Where are these black folks ever caring about just executing people?
There was, you know, of course, Black Lives Matter and a lot of the black people that you're seeing commenting on the Carmelo Anthony case, but they really don't seem to care about the unbelievable amounts of black on black murders that go on in every major city every week. They just stack up the bodies like cordwood, and they don't seem to care about that. They don't really seem to be serious.
Yeah, like what's Chicago? It's like on average about 8 people a week.
Yet you look at mayors like Brandon Johnson in Chicago. This guy is doing everything he can except utilizing his police, utilizing the judicial system in Chicago to actually have consequences for these horrible actions, to try to curtail these teen takeovers that end when someone pulls a gun out and starts firing into a crowd. Anything else, these, you know, the YMCA, we need hugs and kisses from social workers. It's anything they can do except real consequence. And real consequence seems to be the only thing that curtails this. And they just have spent years and years and years avoiding that. I don't know what their motive is. It seems insane and counterproductive.
The breakdown of society is divide and conquer. I think I saw an article on Monday. Go ahead. I meant to cover Monday.
No, you're right. It does seem that way. Go ahead.
I had the graphs and everything on Monday. Maybe the crew can re-pull it. But runaways, people running from the police in Austin, Texas, is up over 100% since Jose Garza, one of the worst Soros DAs in the country, got in.
Yeah.
And the criminals, black, white, Hispanic, you name it, but it's mainly black and Hispanic, they say, we don't get in trouble. So if you run from the police and shoot at them and don't hit them, he lets you out of jail. You could shoot people, and they're not dead. He lets you out, no bond. And now the criminals are all saying, it's lawless. We can do whatever they want. So you ask, why is it happening? You know, the word has gone out in all these Soros cities and towns that it's a green light. And then most of the people they're killing are black and Hispanic, like you were just saying. It is crazy. But our own reporter dead from this. These guys had all been in jail before.
Shame.
So, I mean, I'm just saying that's how bad it is. So to answer the question, I want you to answer this question. What is behind it? I mean, we know why it's happening. The judges let them out. Why are they doing that?
It's like I said, it's so counterproductive to a society, you know, and we're old enough to look back and remember when there were consequences. A city like New York under Giuliani was compared to today, a paradise. I mean, there was tourism there. There was safety. The police, the people knew that the police were out on the streets, keeping the people safe. Stop and frisk was a big thing. Look, I'm a unbelievable advocate for the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the Second Amendment, obviously. But there is a point where the police should absolutely be able to pull you over or stop you on the sidewalk and say, ask you questions, is stop, question, and frisk. And if that ever happened to me in New York while I was carrying a legal gun, I would stop, thank the officer, and say, yes, I'm carrying a weapon, and be about my business. This has to be done in these cities. In a perfect world, in a paradise, maybe it could be different. We are so far from that now. There hasn't been consequences. There hasn't been real enforcement. And we're seeing the byproduct of that, which is murders going on and assaults in these big cities. And I don't really know what the motive is here, Alex. I think there are people in the upper echelon, the upper tiers of that power pyramid, that have a reason to do this. And I think a lot of the people like Brandon Johnson are just the useful idiots that are in office that are doing their bidding. But I honestly don't know what the end game is.
Well, I think you've said it before. It's Cloward and Piven, and it's to break down society and to have people just stay home. It's like COVID, make you stay in your house, collapse the economy. They want people to be demoralized. That's why it got declassified. The left of the CIA in the 60s wanted ugly art, ugly architecture. They want to just normalize fat men dressed as women shaking their asses in front of little kids. It's all about just demoralizing, seeing what you can get away with, and getting the public just to give up.
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't we think something like that? What are we getting that would lead you to believe, no matter how you mull it over in your head, that this is a good thing for the country? And like I said, it's great that a lot of people are waking up to this. I think social media has been fantastic in that, in both respects. I think.
And I wanted to ask you then what you see coming next when we come back. And then just remember, folks, whether you're in Australia or Canada or the U.S. or England, it's the same liberal judges, the same left, the same letting them out, the same program, folks. Anthony Kumi's our guest. Now, I know you're on X as well, but what's the best website for people to find you?
Yeah, Anthony Kumi on X. I'm also at censored.tv. I do a show Monday through Thursday, 4:30 to 6 p.m. Eastern time. And my gig, regular radio. They brought me back, Alex, 77 WABC Radio in New York City, Sunday night, 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern time. Yeah, amazing. Vindicated.
Absolutely. The real number one station in the country for the syndication, WABC. All right, Anthony Kumi, we're going to come back and ask what comes next. And then look at what's going on with Trump, the Iran war, the midterms, election fraud, and so much more with the vindicated, most censored comedian, Anthony Kumi. I'm Alex Jones. Stay with us.
Inflation is up. That's an issue. So how does Berkshire handle that with its business?
Well, we can't handle runaway inflation except not to be there in the way of it. If you look at the number of countries that have had runaway inflation since World War II, you know, in my lifetime, it's very large. Once you create that, it becomes a different world. And of course, you have countries that have gone bankrupt like six or seven times. I mean, it's just amazing what people do. Not having faith in the money does to a country. It turns it into something else.
Dollar collapse means we keep continuing on where we are. Dollar devalues. We've got massive inflation. You raise interest rates to slow that inflation down. So this is going to have a cataclysmic effect on the insurance industry, on pension funds, on everything. And on the
banking system. And let's be clear, though. A dollar being the world currency is how we could just print it and buy whatever we wanted. If the world sees it like the Mexican peso or worse, we're screwed. So here's Prince Charles, the king, announcing the digital change, the mark of the beast system, and a dovetail with Tony Blair, who's globally, through the UN and Bill Gates, standardized the world ID that the UK, under orders of the king, I thought he's just ceremonial, no, he could dissolve parliament anytime he wants, is now going into place. This all ties into everything. We'll talk to top economist, a great patriot, Peter Kirk Kelly, in a moment about it, but here's the clips.
My ministers will also proceed with the introduction of digital ID that will modernize how citizens interact with public services.
Tell us a bit about what it means for what government should do in terms of its digital infrastructure, digital ID, data centers, and so on.
The first thing a country needs to do is to unify all of their data so it can be consumed and used by the AI model. You have to take all of your healthcare data, your diagnostic data, your electronic health records, your genomic data. We have to take all of this data we have in our country and move it into a single, if you will, unified data platform.
What they do is Oracle make big donations to Tony Blair's Institute, and Tony Blair's Institute advocates for further advantages for Oracle and Oracle affiliated entities. Listen, the centralization of data and the centralization of power is part of a dark and nefarious agenda.
People are really crazy if they don't call you. You're on record, the biggest company, because you have the best ratings, the best gold and silver prices. It is the smart move. Get a free consultation, they can roll over financial instruments.
This should be a happy time, right? So don't let the news scare you, but rather use the wisdom, the creativity that God gave you. Go into tangible assets that have zero counterparty risk. Silver was up over 140% last year. Since January 30th, when it corrected and it had a 50% correction, went down into the 60s, it's almost 90. Literally, since February, silver's up over 30%, Alex. There is a path to safety here financially, and that's what tangible assets do. This is what
God
the numbers
always
are
gives
telling
his
us.
People a way out, but the people perish always. For lack of knowledge.
Always. He always does. He's never going to say something, even if it's the mark of the beast. When he talks about it in Revelation, he's not going to say something unless we have a choice to either accept or reject, because he didn't create robots.
KEPM.com/gold. Sign up for the email there to get a free consultation. We'll call you right back. Or you can call the number 720-605-3000. The smartest investment you could have made in the last 3 years. I'm telling you right now, this is the place to go. 720-605-3000.
It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
So a year ago in London, Henry Nowak, 18-year-old college student, no criminal record, upstanding person, runs into this crazy guy who'd been caught brandishing swords on the street but basically crashing out, and reportedly said to him, "Are you a good guy or a bad guy?" So he stabs him once in the chest, he turns and runs, stabs him three more times in the back into his lungs, and then stabs him in the back of the thigh. The police get there in about 10 minutes, and then the guy points at him and says, "He's a racist. He called me a name." And so they let him sit there and bleed to death. And they said in the court, they released part of the transcript, they said, "This will prejudice the jury too much, and it will inflame the country." But it was the guy's mom coming, as they stabbed him in front of his house. The guy's just walking down the street, hiding the murder weapon, laughing at him, "Oh, you're going to die, you piece of crap." Then they get there and they go, "There's the racist." So they couldn't even look and see if he was stabbed when they handcuff him so he can die. Can't breathe for real. This is what they said happened to George Floyd for real. Then he dies. And then now you got this Allah Akbar guy trying to saw the head off the guy. More beheadings, full beheadings just happened in Italy and Germany and all over just since that, just a couple days ago. Finally, they burned down some of the migrant centers, which I'm not for, you know, offensive stuff like that, but I get people being pissed. Suddenly, the whole leftist media is upset. The government's saying we're going to arrest you terrorists. I mean, this is so archetypal. So I know. I mean, I grew up in Dallas, Texas, around a lot of black people. Most black people, super nice, great, played football, went to their houses, wonderful. But there was always that percentage growing up in Dallas that because you were white would just, you know, I mean, this knockout game didn't just begin yesterday. And so I don't sit here as a victim and hate all the black people, though I have been racially attacked many times in Dallas, and I learned how to fight. And but also, people were a lot rougher back then, too. Crime is high now, but it was even higher back then. I was in a lot of fights with white guys looking at them wrong or whatever. It's just the way Dallas was at that time. But my point is, looking at Europe, looking at what's happening there, very similar with the left trying to cover it up. It's not working. Looking at what's happening here, this has to be admitted. It has to be addressed. Instead, when there's record black on Asian crime, we heard under Biden, there's record white on Asian crime. Doesn't basically even exist. So it's a lot of the black folks out there need to understand, and they do. I'm not harping on this subject all the time just to sit there and say, hey, a certain segment of black people are hunting white people. It's because the liberal media is hyping it and legitimizing it and pushing it and trying to fan the flames. And the media and the Democrats put out these FBI reports literally saying the number one threat's white supremacy, national security threat, whites are hunting blacks and Asians, and it's not even happening. So I'm like, I'm being set up, you're being set up as this evil mastermind, Count Dracula, that flies out as a bat and drinks the black blood at night, and none of it's true. So it's not just that we're saying, hey, stop killing us, we're also saying, sir.
Excellent point. Yeah, we see it happening all over the world. What a horrific story. That poor guy, you couldn't imagine that in a horror movie. You're stabbed, your life is bleeding out of you, and the cops run over to you and handcuff you. It's like that old comedy bit where the ambulance would show up and grab the wrong guy and put him on the gurney and throw him in the ambulance while the guy is dying in the street. If only it was that funny. There, especially in Europe, it's worse than it is here on a few fronts. We have a lot more real estate. You know, I left New York City. I was living and working in New York City for many years, and it just got too much. And we live in a great country that allows you to get your ass up and move to a place that's a little more in line with your ideology and your beliefs and the people you want to be around. So I moved just outside Greenville, South Carolina. It's fantastic. Looking out my window, peace, woods, a river. Love it. European nations are pretty small in comparison. So when they open their gates up to Africans and Indians and Pakistanis and people that just have, look, it might not be any fault of their own. They have been raised in these countries, within these societies that just aren't first world nations.
Well, when they're like full compliment. I mean, India, yeah. Pakistan are literally so disgusting. When women have no rights, rape is out in the open, and we're all told to just embrace this and it's superior. No, it's not.
Right.
Guys, show them some of the horrors of India and Pakistan. Just put it on screen. Garbage, avalanches, rivers of feces, people drinking feces water.
Yeah. What mindset do you have to be in to think you could just pluck somebody from that, throw them into London, New York City, Paris, France, any civilized first world Western nation, and think they're going to instantly assimilate and be able to function and be productive in that society? And if you say anything, you know this, Alex, as well as I know this, you are the problem. You're the racist. You're the Nazi. You're the person that's xenophobic. It's just basic science. It doesn't work. You can't just pluck people, put them into a civil society and have them function. And this is what we're seeing. I think there's this belief. Again, it might just be the useful idiots and not the people at the top of the power pyramid, but they believe everyone is the same. And you can take somebody and put them in a first world nation, put them in a suit, and they will be, you know,
let's
Don
do the reverse.
Draper
How many cases Madden? Are there? There's been hundreds that have been well televised of liberal white women that go, it's a myth I can't go to Central Africa, or I can't go to Pakistan, or I can't go to Afghanistan, or I can't go to Somalia. Within hours, they're raped, murdered, killed, you name it. I mean, it's like guaranteed, lady.
Yeah, it's that, it's this, what do they call it? Suicidal empathy?
Mm-hmm.
Where you just forgo any safety, any of our millennia of survival instincts that it's ingrained in us. It's hardwired into us. And you just want to throw that away and say, yeah, I'm just going to forego nature and my own instincts, put myself in a dangerous situation because what? People have told me I need to feel bad about who I am and the privilege that I've had over the course of my life. It's worse than cutting off your nose to spite your face. It's killing yourself.
Well, what these women don't get exactly is that in these third, fourth, fifth world Stone Age countries, everybody's in tribes. Everybody's in subgroups. And so you don't leave your neighborhood unless there's a group of men with you. If you're a woman, you don't go, even though they're all Pakistani or all Indian or all, it doesn't matter. It's all in groups about mass muscle. It's the West that creates a status system, you know, creates due process, creates the security grid, has the military that protects the overall thing, has all the programs that are set up to build civilization. Everywhere else, it doesn't work like that. If a woman's by herself in almost any other country, she deserves to be drug off to a cave and gang raped. To them, they're like, what's this woman doing? I mean, so that's just how it is. And the naivete, where I get to hear all day about how the West is bad to women, if anything, the West has put women on a pedestal and let them run the show. I'm not saying don't let them have equal power, but don't give them more power. Because this age, and I'm not blaming women in general, but women, smart women will tell you, these women are naive, man. They are dangerous on average.
Yeah, they're a huge problem here in this country because for some reason they have a voice. Their opinion seems to matter to the left anyway. There's a lot of policies that are in place, a lot of legislation we've seen that has been written up by these same women that you've just been talking about. I don't want somebody, and I don't care if they're men or women, but again, we are different
Oh, there's plenty of Stockholm Syndrome dumbass men. I'm just saying statistically,
yep,
we know the bread and butter of the left worldwide is idiot women selling out their own interest mindlessly. It's insane.
Yeah. And the situation we're seeing in Ireland is another thing that's just astounding. I saw, you know, some of their leadership and law enforcement, and they were blaming Elon Musk. They said that Elon Musk put out, allowed the video of this savage guy trying to hack off one of their countrymen's heads. This guy is so cut up, his entire head.
Slicing his face up like a jack-o'-lantern.
It is so disgusting. And they're more angry that Elon Musk and his platform X allowed the video to go up, which they say.
Well, let's be clear. In Ireland and in the UK and in Scotland, they said nothing about all the murder, rape, and carving his face up with the box cutter. It was all weak. You shouldn't see this. The TV programs all said the same thing. How do we say exactly? The crime was letting you know this is going on. Go ahead.
Letting you know that this is going on. Yeah. Blaming Elon Musk or any other social media platform that would allow people to see this. That's what they think incited this violence that they saw in Belfast. Not the fact that one of their countrymen's head is trying to be cut off by some third world savage that somehow got into their country legally or not. That's the problem. Until that is addressed and those people are removed from office with extreme prejudice, this is going to continue happening. Look, I'm a sympathetic guy. I don't like watching videos of families running from a burning building because some Irish guy set their building on fire because it's primarily occupied by Pakistanis and Indians and Africans that are being brought into the country. But how are you supposed to react when they're cutting off the heads or trying to of your countrymen? there's only so much restraint that people can have when they feel they are being backed into a corner. And when there's someone cutting someone's head off and the powers that be and the media are saying you're the bad guy, well, this will happen.
And by the way, you're right. Day one, the neighbors of the guy that got his head all sawed up, still in critical condition in a coma, said, oh, no, he's a neighbor. He helped them move in last week and was their friend. And then the media ignored that. Now they confirmed this guy was basically a liberal helping them.
Isn't it terrible that you almost don't feel as bad when you find out that they're liberals? It's almost like, look, you made your own bed here. You don't. When I go into New York, Alex, and you probably do the same thing, my head's on a swivel. I'm not being racist. I'm not being, you know, xenophobic for people that aren't like me. It's not. This is called survival. You have
well,
to
until
act
you've
a
been
way.
Until you've been tackled and mugged, which has happened to me. It's happened to my wife. I mean, until it's happened, you don't know it.
Yeah, you have to take those things into consideration. I don't let people walk behind me in New York. I'll step to the side. I'll step to the side, let them pass me, and now I can see what they're doing in front of me. There are too many people on their phones. They're just looking at their phones the whole time. And look, you gotta take into consideration there's people like the guy in Ireland. And
well, that
like,
reminds me of Irina Zaruska. She was a Black Lives Matter, reportedly, big liberal here in America, loves it. She's on the train on her smartphone, and here's a guy in jail 40 times, 18 assaults, totally psychotic, and he just looks at her, makes a decision, and she's just like never knew what hit her. I mean, where obviously nobody taught her common sense. She came from a country she didn't have to worry about that. She's literally, and I got on a train. There's white schizophrenics, they're dangerous, look like that guy. They all have the same look, that, you know. And I mean, I'm not going to sit with a white schizophrenic or a black one behind me. I mean, they're right down the street from our office, running around the streets right here in Austin. I mean, I would never let those people get behind me. But she had no survival instinct. I feel sorry for her.
No, if that guy was sitting there, I never would have sat there. And if he had come into the train to sit in that seat, I'd have gotten up and moved. There are too many people also that are so afraid of looking or even feeling like their actions would be racism. So they put themselves in danger. They don't.
But when I go to a restaurant, just instinctively, and I got a gun on me, just, you know, I always try to get a seat or we're sitting. I get the table with my family where I'm facing everything. That's just a normal defensive thing. And it's exactly the same thing. And I'm sorry, if I'm on a train or a bus and I see a bunch of young males of any color, just for safety, I'm going to position myself where I'm looking at them. That's just normal behavior.
Of course. I saw a clip recently. This woman was going into her apartment building, and she was a huge advocate for troubled black youth and black released convicts. Her whole company that she put together was based on this. There's a surveillance camera. She's got to go through this security system and the keypad and the speaker to get into her own building. She gets in. She sits down in the lobby to go through some stuff. A black guy knocks on the door. She lets him in after going through all the security to let her own ass in. Well, this guy drags her up to the roof and rapes and murders her. And what could she possibly be thinking? She's in. She's behind that security wall. And she just lets the guy in because she would have felt questioning him being there would have been a problem.
By the way, I don't care if it's a black guy or a white guy, and I'm a pretty tough, you know, for my age, white guy.
Exactly.
I'm not going to randomly know, do you live here? Who are you seeing? I don't care who you are. I'm not going to let you in the building because my other neighbors pay for that security for a reason.
Exactly.
Again,
you see this happening all the time. I've seen people that have walked out on the street. They see a stranger walking through the neighborhood. They walk up to him and go, hey, can I help you? Are you looking for somebody? What's your business here? They're not coming out and pummeling the guy. They're just asking.
They're not busybodies, and it's because maybe their daughter 20 years before got raped. Maybe their house got burglarized. That's normal community.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How does the media look at that? They go, oh, here's a, what is this, a sundown town? It's a racist neighborhood with racist Nazi residents. No, you should thank God that your neighbors are concerned They see someone they don't know. You're a close enough neighborhood where you know who's in there, what they're doing, what their business is, and you inquire if you see somebody that you don't know. Why is that now a bad thing? There's no sense of self-preservation anymore. The left has tried to beat self-preservation out of the populace to the point where they are putting themselves in danger by ignoring every instinct God gave us to save ourselves, to identify danger,
well, you
to
know,
fight or flight.
You know, I've said, if this keeps on, we need to change the national bird from the bald eagle to the dodo bird. Because, as you know, the dodo bird had no instincts. You could just walk up and kill it.
Right, right. That's what they are trying to do. It astounds me how weak people are mentally, how willing they are to put themselves in danger, to not be perceived as somebody that isn't this virtuous, wonderful, all-inclusive type of person.
In the time we've got left, and we got to get you back more often, I really appreciate you coming on. It's paradoxical. I need Trump to succeed because the left's so evil. But from my views, going back about a year ago, he's been going sideways. And Israel openly, with all these bills to literally take over the military, it actually says that in intelligence. And every time Trump doesn't get a peace deal, Netanyahu blows it up. Where do you see what's going on with Trump? Or when do you think he started to change? Or do you think he's doing a great job?
You know, 2016 Trump and Trump today, he's a different guy. And, you know, you could blame it on a lot of things. There are probably a lot of things that happen when you take the office of president of the United States that we could not fathom. If you don't think there are secrets, and I know a lot of people have done the bit, comedians have done this over the course of the years. You get elected, they take you back, they show you three HD different views of the Kennedy assassination. And, you know, you're now doing their bidding. But there's also the other aspect. He's older. You know, we like to think Trump's impervious to aging. The guy is just older. He doesn't have the pep in his step like he used to. And I don't think he's, got dementia. I don't think we've seen a president with dementia with, Biden, but he's slowed down mentally, and he was such a strong character and a strong leader in 2016, being dumped into the biggest office in the country. And he had to make it work. He made a lot of missteps. He wasted a lot of time and energy. But it was Trump. The Trump we have now, he's kind of barely recognizable as the guy. You know, he'll do some funny things. You could laugh when he does his little talks and he holds up a picture of the reflecting pool next to buildings, and you're like, oh, that's funny. But how the hell we have anything to do with Iran in 2026, militarily anyway, is insane. I'm all for retribution. If Iran was actually enriching uranium in a way that could be used in a bomb, uranium-235, yeah, that would be an issue, and that should be dealt with. But surgical strikes on nations, we've been doing that
forever. But the point is,
Netanyahu
is using this forever war to stay in office, and that's my concern, is we're letting a foreign, and everybody knows I've never had a hard-on for Israel. I'm not just against Israel, it's against Israel. But Israel is trying to come in and run the show. And
if they were trying to, you know, kind of bury that whole Israel is running the United States thing, boy, they certainly aren't doing it with this Iran situation. And like I say, you know, we've done the surgical strikes. We go in and grab a president from this nation and we drop a few bombs on some terrorist leaders in that nation. But the no new wars thing is George H.W. Bush's no new taxes. It was a huge part of your platform that got you elected, and now we're in Iran. And I'm not going to be like these liberals and these lefties and these Democrats saying, oh, but this, but that. No, I will look at it and go, yeah, this was contrary to what we voted for and what got him into office.
Exactly. We're not in a cult like the left is, and it's killing the approval rating. It's killing the midterms, and now he's trying to get out. But look, here's the deal. I have Bovino on. Now, I already knew before the head of the Border Patrol, former head, came on 2 weeks ago. This was the case. It was Trump killed the enforcement 6 months ago. It was Trump killed the investigation into Butler. It was Trump killed the Epstein. That's all confirmed now. And I'm just telling listeners, these are really bad moves. And it is literally the Democrats that are all over the Epstein file. But he just wants to be friends with all of them. He wants to just, you know, exactly. He's 80 years old. And that's what I've been told is it's not really even dementia. He's burnt out. And so now if you just kiss his ass, tell him everything's fine, that's what he wants to hear. Like yesterday, he's like, I love inflation. It's not a problem. It's like he's mailing it in now.
Yeah. You know, 80-year-olds, you ever see him when you're behind him in line at the pharmacy and they're yapping with the pharmacist and you just want to get your prescription and they're just yap. They just want to be liked. They want someone to talk to. They want friends, the checkout person at a supermarket. They're yapping. You just want to get out of there. You know, age comes with certain things that are, it's not conducive to being.
You just read my mind. There was a clip this morning and I'm like, I don't want to bash him too much. I think I even sent it to the crew, but I'm going to find it after you go. He literally is like, lumberjacks like me and so do they. And then I did this and then I did that. I said, that's not dementia, but that's 80-year-old man gibbering. I mean, it's not as bad as Kamala word salad. It's not like Biden doesn't know where he is, but it's literally just an old man chirping. And I was just like, this is, it's what it is.
You know, when you're a young man, Alex, it's kind of cool to have people not like you. You're like, F that guy. Yeah. I'll pop him in the head if he comes up and mouths off to me. Once you get older, I think you just want everyone to like you.
My dad used to be a total hard ass, didn't care what anybody thought, was mean, tough. He's like almost 80. He just wants to be nice to everybody and just everything's got to, it happens.
And it makes you very easily influenced and manipulated by people. And the last thing you want in a president is someone that's easily manipulated and influenced. We saw that with Biden. This guy was off his rocker. He could be told something and talked into something at the drop of a hat. And he was the guy with the auto pen. They had the auto pen with his signature. And we ended up 4 years of a horrible president. And now, you know, I'm a Trump fan. I always have been. And I want to support him for the greater good of this country, but I'm also not blind and I'm not a hypocrite liberal that's just going to say, no, everything's going great. It's not.
I'm worried he needs to take more time off because I've confirmed he sleeps 3 hours a day. I'm at 52. I would die in a month if I did that. He has got to take it easy. Anthony, I know you got to go. Do right. 5 more minutes, 2-minute break. I want to come back and finish up on the midterms. And we are true as populist conservative nationalists that we'll talk about our own dirty laundry so we can get rid of it, air it out. But we still need to somehow focus more on the Democrats. And I'm telling myself that because I'm all over Trump constantly because it's personal. And meanwhile, the Democrats are the frickin' plague. Back in 2 minutes, final segment, Anthony Cumia. Stay with us.
Hi, folks. Doc Bigley here. And today we're going to get to know our H2O. Billy, what kind of water do you drink?
Why, tap water, of course. Ma says it keeps my teeth sparkly white.
I'm sorry to say it, Billy, but your mother is either plain ignorant or worse. A communist. Let me explain.
Tap water used to be safe to drink, but communist subversives in our government introduced fluoride into our nation's tap under the guise of dental health, when in reality, fluoride lowers your IQ, calcifies your pineal gland, and makes you susceptible to anti-capitalist mind viruses.
So you're telling me I'm a sap if I drink tap?
Yes, you are, Billy. Yes, you are. But don't despair. We found a solution. Follow me. I'd like to tell you a tale of two frogs. Frog number one has only ever drank unfiltered tap water, chock full of fluoride. Observe him listening to satanic music, abusing substances, and engaging in other perversions.
Look, Doc, they're trying to play leapfrog. They're pretty bad at it, though.
Avert your eyes, Billy. Let's continue.
Meanwhile, frog number two has only ever drank water that has been filtered for fluoride and other impurities. What a happy frog family.
Spill the secret, Doc. How do you get rid of the communist poisons?
with the new water filter system from the alexjonesstore.com.
Say, Doc, may I have a glass?
Why, certainly. Well, that's just swell. No water in the water filter. Listen, I'm not mad at the crew, but I asked for real water in here 30 minutes ago and never got it.
Crew's in trouble again.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
You can feel it. You can taste it.
All right, I'm going to reveal who the Q movement is and who ran it and who did it later in the hour. Just because I need to do it, and it's already leaked out, but people haven't figured it out yet. But I'm not violating confidence because people figured it out, okay? It has to do with Jeffrey Epstein. And they tried to recruit me into it, and I said no. And I'm not going to say all the names. I'm going to say some of the names. But it was out of the White House, and it was Trump. And then the Democrats took control of it because Epstein was involved the whole time. But that's coming up later in the hour. Anthony Cumia, the important question, and this is a question for me, because I even said to my other host, I was like, listen, I don't control what you say, but my God, we're all Israel all the time and all Trump all the time, because I know it's front and center, but we got to worry about big tech and the Democrats and Gavin Newsom, and they just stole all these elections and got caught. And so how do you divide up how you cover stuff, and how do you get back to the Democrats? Because I know we need to be focusing, still expose bad stuff with Trump. Hell, we just did an hour of it, but how do we make ourselves get back over onto the Democrats?
Yeah, it's tough. You have to sort through so much news and so many different avenues to be able to run it through your own head and come out with something with some semblance of truth to it these days. Which, as a talk show host, it gives you that much more work to do. But look, we did see at least some shenanigans going on with this L.A. Mayoral race. The allegations now in place that the homeless people were being paid.
Oh, they always $2. They always do that. That's confirmed. Yeah. And then almost all the new votes that came in were all for the people against Spencer Pratt.
All for Rahman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It was insane. And this is terrible because it makes people think that our electoral system is rife with fraud. They won't go out and vote. It's all calculated also. I don't think they cheat to win necessarily. That's a side effect. I think they cheat to degrade our faith in the electoral system here in this country to keep us from going out and voting. Why would I bother if they're just going to steal it? That's a lot more effective than having to cheat every friggin' time you're running a candidate.
No, I agree.
So that makes a huge problem. And as far as the midterms go, if Trump doesn't pull this plane out of this dive we're in and have this last minute, inflation goes down, gas goes down, we're done with Iran, we're going to be in trouble as Republicans when the midterms come around.
Exactly. And I've been saying that for 6 months. And then about 40% of my audience is mad saying, no, just be a cheerleader. It'll be okay. And I'm like, no, I'm smart. I'm political. Look at the polls. We're, even Trump admits it's like, what do you say to the white pillars that say never question as a constituent, never get mad when we think they're getting off track? That's a cult.
That's insane. That's a cult. And you are going to pay for it one way or another. Even if this person does win the election, if that's the way they have to win, by you just blindly following them. If something doesn't change very quickly, we are going to be in big trouble in November. You know, people are fickle. Alex, we've seen it. The way the polls go, oh my God, he's up this day, he's down that day. People are fickle. Right now, what's happening right now to make me want to vote for you? Right up till election day. And I don't think right now, based on where we are, that the midterms are going to be very nice to Republicans.
Oh, I had Mark Mitchell, the top pollster, on like 6 months ago. Vance saw it, flew him up there, had him meet with Trump for 3 hours. His own internal polls were like, you're sliding, and now we see it. And just Trump didn't listen at the time. It's bad. This is tough love for Trump, but I agree. We got 5 months. How can he still pull out?
It would be a miracle. There's too many issues that are weighing the party down. And there are too many serious issues that you can't just solve overnight. This is big trouble, Alec.
Yeah, we're not going to lie to you. Censored.tv, find him, Gavin McGinnis, the rest of the crew. We love you. Anthony Cumia, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Alex. Love you, bro.
Love you, too. Vindicated. He's actually one of my peers. There's not many of them. He's as censored as I am. We'll be right back.
Most banned man in America, Alex Jones.
I want you all to know something. Alex Jones was right.
Alex is right about far more than he's wrong.
Alex has been right on for over a decade.
I don't care how you slice it, dice it, flip it up, or rub it down. Alex Jones was right.
Think about how frustrated we are if you've been awake for a year or two. Imagine being like an Alex Jones or those guys who've been awake for like decades.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Alex Jones never bought the Russia hoax, not for a second.
You are one of the great thinkers of this.
You are a martyr to the First Amendment.
The government fears Alex Jones.
That's why the globalists hate me, is because I'm exposing their corporate worldwide tyranny.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Michael Yon, former Green Beret A-Team, and of course, the most famous combat correspondent living. He's caught some of the greatest battles and shootouts, you name it, on tape around the world. And a geopolitical expert. I remember when Trump got shot at Butler, or said he got shot at Butler, Yon coming out and saying, I think that's fake. Well, I mean, then they're all better actors than Al Pacino. I mean, it, you know, and so guy got killed, people got shot. We know there was another shooter. We could see in citizen video a bullet coming through bags and stuff where it hit somebody. But it could have been staged. Well, now, and I already knew this, but couldn't talk about it. Tucker Carlson, who was deeply embedded at the White House until just about 3 months ago, but a year plus ago, when this was, when the cover-up was happening, when Trump got in for 6 months, I was there when Bongino was calling him up at his house. I mean, I stayed with Tucker. I was there when Trump was calling up, and he'd have to go away for 45 minutes to talk to him. And he told me some stuff off record that he's now come out and talked about. And I was just talking to Tucker on text this morning. I'm going to talk to him. He's in San Francisco now when he gets off his plane. I think he's off now as soon as the show's over. I'm going to talk to him. But Tucker Carlson has the highest level of credibility in sources. And he says Bongino hysterically called him last December and said, no, I've been ordered to cover this up by Trump. Now, we knew Trump ordered the Epstein cover-up. I had that from sources a year and a half ago. And then people didn't believe me. And a week later, he came out and said, yeah, you're not MAGA if you look into Epstein. So this isn't about bashing Trump. It's just about the fact that he is the one covering it all up. So did they actually almost kill him and he's scared? We know he ordered Cash Patel to not look at foreign involvement killing Charlie Kirk. And I broke that 6 days after it happened that it was Patel. Now I've confirmed it was Trump told him that. And it was Trump leaked the Axios stuff on Netanyahu, and I told you that. And then it came out a week later, indeed, that was true. But why is he doing it? So he's doing a pop-in today. I'm inviting him on special show I'm doing like noon to 3 tomorrow, Central, here on the Alex Jones Network. But I want to just get a quick snapshot with Michael Yon now on his prognosis of where Trump's at. I know he'll say, well, who cares? I just want to worry about the other issues. Well, it still matters to understand what's coming in the midterms. Israel openly trying in the Defense Authorization Act to literally take over the military and intelligence. It's what it says. Netanyahu bragging, he wrote it. Quote, my plan. Thanks for implementing my plan in letters to Congress. The Army coming out, Defense Intelligence Agency saying the number one threat to national security is now Israel. That shows a major loggerhead finally coming out. and then how the Iran situation ties into that. He was on a few weeks ago and said, look for China, start sending in more ships in the Strait of Malacca by Singapore. That's now happened. So just 35,000 foot view. But first, why did you think, as a Green Beret trained guy, that Butler was fake? Looked real to me. I'm not saying you were wrong. I wasn't saying you have a right to say it. But now, learning that Trump ordered a cover-up of Butler, why would he do that if it wasn't fake? Michael Young.
It was obviously fake. Like, doesn't mean people didn't die. I mean, you know, people all the time, as you know, I mean, the name of your show is InfoWars. I mean, you know, InfoWars can be quite substantial. They'll kill 10,000 people as stage props. That's nothing. That's zero. This is the type of a camera that the photographer was using. I use it every day. In fact, I'm talking to you through one, and there's one right there, and this is it right here. It's a Sony Alpha 1, right? And this is the lens, 24 millimeter. That's what he was using. I'm extremely familiar with that lens. I mean, in that camera, I mean, that's what's in my hand all the time. And, you know, it's a Sony Alpha 1. And so with a 24 millimeter lens, and you know, it was a fine choice for that shot. And, but you know, having done a ton of combat photography, I can tell you, and also keep in mind, I was a weapons specialist in special forces. So I have a sort of a different skill stack. I've, you know, done a lot of combat photography, but I also know something about weapons and sniper weapons. I have photography from Afghanistan when I'm shooting through the scope of a British sniper's rifle. He leans over so I can hit, and then he took a shot, right? I mean, I was doing stuff like that all the time. That's published. And so, you know, I'm very familiar with incoming
shots.
So
what you're saying is you're an expert, fully vetted to speak on this.
I know it. So when I looked at that, yeah, I was saying all that to set the table. When I saw that shot, like, I don't know everything that's fake, but I know what's real. You know, that's how the tellers catch the fraud, right? With the counterfeit. They know what real feels like, and that doesn't feel real. If you look at the bullet trace, there was a bullet trace photo to the right of that. Now, you know, the photographer, what's his name? Mills, you know, Doug Mills, I think. Is that right?
Pulitzer Prize winner.
Yeah. And so, you know, as soon as I saw that shot, I'm like, no. And actually we went to a range in Texas and tried to recreate it. And I challenged everybody in America with a similar rifle, get out there and shoot 10,000 rounds and see if you can get that shot. I've never seen any photography. Nobody has ever produced a photo like that. There's one Olympic photo, which is some very low velocity round. That's, you know,
so you're saying the cameras couldn't catch that round at 150 yards would probably be going 2,300 feet per second. It wouldn't pick it up.
No way. I mean, have you ever seen one? I mean, there's millions of combat photos out there, whether it's street combat and streets of Texas or in Vietnam or all over the world. There's millions of combat photos. Nobody's ever produced one. I've never seen one.
In fact, you've shot some really famous up-close shootouts with Al-Qaeda, right, that have been ultra-famous where you're shooting high speed, and I think you even grabbed a rifle and started shooting at Al-Qaeda when that general got shot, and you don't see any of the bullets flying there.
There's one bullet that hits right by me, and you can see it. I did catch it on the – it was a hit right by a lieutenant's head, but that's hitting the wall, and that's published
by
the dispatch gate.
No, the impact of a bullet – I've caught plenty of those shooting. I get it, but not the bullet in free fly.
No, never shot – never saw that. I mean, and I'm not talking about a tracer, obviously, and your viewers know what tracers are, and I would say 99% of them anyway, right? And so it's obviously not a tracer. I've just never seen a shot like that. I mean, and there you go. I mean, now keep in mind, I'm not alleging fraud that they did fraud with the photography. I'm not going to get into that defamation lawsuit. But I will say this. These cameras, you can attach a device to it that, you know, when I shoot the photo, as you know, it'll go right to the editor. It would be, you know, this can be back at the editing desk in seconds, actually, right? And in fact, the first thing I said
could
was,
they have shot at him with a 22 caliber pellet gun, which would have been able to be picked up by a camera. So they have real gunfire going, but then they actually shoot him with a pellet gun. That way, if it actually hit him more dead.
Okay. Keep in mind, that's a bullet trace, too. That's the, you know, as you know, when you shoot rounds, you'll sometimes get a bullet trace, depending on conditions. But the first thing I said on day one was, if this is legit, the first thing you're going to do is release the raw photos, right? You're going to, sometimes people said some of my combat photos were faked because they're pretty intense, like Eric Carrillo getting shot and that bullet hitting and hand-to-hand combat and all these sorts of things. I mean, I got it all, you know, many, many times and many firefights. And at times I'm like, be careful saying something's fake, brother, because we'll end up in a courtroom. I'll have the raw images and then I'll have your house, right? Because I'm not playing around. If those photos were real, the first thing I would do is release the raw images because those are harder to fake. That way you're just defending your credibility. That's all. I'm not saying that those are fraud, but the whole setup is clearly fraud. And I've never seen a photo like that. Something is way off.
Well, what we know is, because he's been in charge this administration. He really wasn't last time. He's in charge. He ordered an Epstein cover-up. He's ordered a Butler cover-up. Why would he order a Butler? Well, here's Tucker Carlson talking about it with Mario Nafal. Here's the clip.
I know that about Butler. I know that Trump shut down the investigation into Butler. That is a fact. Dan Bongino told me that when he worked at the FBI. And Dan Bongino himself was terrified when I spoke to him in December. It's such a long, boring story, but basically I came into possession, I beg your pardon, accidentally came into possession of a lot of the social media posts that we were told didn't exist that were posted by Thomas Crooks in the months and years before the shooting. And I was amazed that the FBI had lied about this. So I called Kash Patel and I later called Dan Bongino and I says, you know, what is this? I'm not attacking you. It was the previous FBI administration that did this. It was Chris Wray, but what is this? And Dan Bongino became hysterical with me on the phone. I've known Dan a long time for many years and always gotten along with him. You know, whatever his faults say, you know, nice guy, nice, certainly very nice to me. I never had a problem with Dan ever. And that problem began when I brought this information to his attention and he became a different person. He was clearly terrified. I didn't get it at first, but he was hysterical. And ultimately, after a long series of text exchanges, which I still have, and phone conversations, he said, look, take it up with Trump. He's the one who shut down the investigation. And that was, I think, the first or second week of December. I think it was the beginning of the second week of December. I have it written down. But that was the moment and I realized, oh, wow, you know, there's no good explanation for shutting down an investigation into your own attempted murder. Like, this is not what we've been told it was.
But Bongino says, NEPO, baby Tucker is lying. And I'm showing, I don't know acronyms. What's NEPO? What's that mean? Guys, anybody know what NEPO means? All I know is Bongino a few months ago told a complete lie about me and said I had him on as a guest during the break, said let's lie to the listeners about something, wouldn't say what it was, would never do that, never done that. The man is a fraud. Just a fact. I'm nothing against him. I'm just a damn liar. What does this sound like to you, Michael Yon?
Just a normal fraud. I mean, it's quite clear who these people are. And so, you know, Bongino, you only need to watch him for just a couple of minutes. The red flags are shooting all over the place. And the whole thing's a setup and a fraud. This is what they do on a daily basis. You know, again, why did I publish last year that I thought that the Zionists would close the Strait of Hormuz and blame Iran? And then they did, right? Because, I mean, that's exactly what's happening now. That's just how they roll. And as you very well know, that doing Hollywood stunts like this is normal. I mean, you know, Hollywood. I'm very glad I didn't do that movie with Bruce Willis, by the way. I'm very glad I didn't do it because now, you know, now I see more of the game.
What was the Bruce Willis movie?
Oh, Bruce reached out to me when I was doing combat photography and he wanted to do a movie about my life. And then Eric got shot, after that. I said, you should do a movie about Eric, not me. I mean, he's the stud. I'm just here with the camera, you know? So anyway, Bruce
you're
and
about
I
the, were you're about the head of, you're about the head of CENTCOM.
Yeah. Well, he was head of CENTCOM. Yeah. Well, at that time when he got shot, he was the commander of Deuce 4, 124th Infantry Regiment in Mosul. And then, an incredible commander and he got shot. And then next thing you know, years later, he was commander of CENTCOM. He was the guy that was doing the original bombings on Iran, actually.
Yeah, didn't you say you were there? They blew his femur and he fell down but still kept shooting the Al-Qaeda people.
Oh, yeah, and I got it at 5 frames a second. I mean, you know, I used to keep the cameras attached to my body armor so I could keep my hands free. But I was running down that alley. I was much skinnier then. And I was running down the alley. And since we were in a firefight, I just kept my finger on the button. And it's, you know, it's very fast autofocus. And Eric took a burst and got hit 3 times, broke a femur, another shot, and got hit in the bicep. He rolled, so I've got him at 5 frames a second, rolling, you know, high resolution, you know, $8,000 camera and professional lens. And Eric rolls and stays on the ground, of course, because his femur's broken in half, and he starts returning fire right there. And, you know, and you can see in the original photos when Eric is getting shot, there's no dust in the air, but there's moon dust there. So when you get into a firefight, that dust starts popping up. So you can see, you know, it's starting to get a lot of moon dust in those later shots. And then anyway, then I had to get involved in the firefight and all that stuff.
So, but so,
at
so
the end of the day,
changed,
Eric lived.
What do you think changed or do you think Trump's always been bad? And what do you think he's going to do now?
He's always been bad. You know, when Newt Gingrich called me up before the very first election trying to get support, you know, I'm like, you got to have somebody else. I mean, I'm not going to vote for a Clinton, obviously. I mean, I'm not going to vote for one of those monsters, but you got to have somebody else. I don't trust the guy. Many people have said that I've turned my back on Trump. I'm like, nope, you will find 0 days when I supported Trump. Search all you want. Get at it. You won't find it. It never happened because I could see right through that guy. I can see through him like an X-ray, you know, because you can see yourself and you can see your opposite. And he's my opposite. You know, he's so easy to predict. I just imagine, what would I do in this situation? I pick the opposite, and that's what he does. I mean, he's amazingly easy to predict. He's a traitor. He's an absolute traitor. And so that's, you know, it's very clear.
Well, have you seen the NDAA legislation? I mean, it literally has Israel taking over the government.
Yeah, I mean, these are sorts of things that many people have talked about for years, that they would end up doing things like this. I've publicly said things like this. I mean, they're clearly coming. They will use that. You know, keep in mind, Eric Carrillo, the one that got shot, he was the best combat leader I've ever seen. And I've been out with a lot of combat leaders, really great ones. And he ended up being, you know, a commander of Ranger Regiment, and then he's commander of all special operations forces. And then he took CENTCOM, right? Now, to take CENTCOM, you have to be super in love with Israel, or you're not going to get, you're not going to be in command of CENTCOM, right? And, you know, Eric wants to get, he wanted to take the whole, Sinai Peninsula and that sort of thing. But I tell you what, I mean, Eric was the one that was giving the orders for the first, you know, attacks on Iran, the more recent war when it broke out. You know, I met Petraeus in the business lounge of, in LAX, I don't know, before the war started. And I was like, there he is. What's he doing here? I went up and started talking with him. And he's like, hey, Michael, how you doing? I'm like, what are you doing in business class? You know what I mean? And we started talking about Eric. You know, Eric Petraeus obviously was also the CENTCOM commander at an earlier time, right? And he was later, you know, director of DCI, right? Director of CIA. And so I walked up and we're talking with him. And, you know, he starts talking about Eric, too. I mean, he's like, Eric's doing a great job over there and, you know, in the Middle East now, what do you think? And I'm like, you know, I don't like it. You know, I like him. I mean, thought he was incredible.
So let's go back to this. You were on about 2 years ago. And you said, I predict Israel's biting off more than it can chew, and it's going to end up getting destroyed in the end, and Israel's done. Now, back then, that was quite a wild statement. Now, it's the most unpopular country in the world. Everybody's turning against him. But Israel keeps doubling down, making arrogant statements about greater Israel. What is Israel thinking? Because I'm somewhat of a geopolitical, you know, person that studies it, and military, I study it, and I study the other analysts that are very accurate. They say Israel's in deep crap long term. Why did they do this?
I think that the Zionists are actually going to sacrifice Israel. I think they're going to go ahead and kill it. And I think it's kind of obvious, actually, when you go over to Israel and see. I mean, they don't care about the Israelis. What, the Zionists don't care about Jews. They don't care about any of those guys. This is a much bigger game. This is a much, much bigger game than Israel. Israel, they want that land, right? I just had a couple of books come in recently from 1855 from a British naval officer named William Allen, and he's proposing a canal through Israel, right? Through the Med, to the Dead, to the Red, from the Mediterranean to the Dead Sea to the Red Sea, right? And he goes into detail, and it's fascinating books. And I mean, that what I'm getting to is Israel is amazingly important because of location, 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 and resources, like Panama, except even more so, right? Panama is very similar in so far as location, and tons of resources. But you take that with Israel, and it's like, you know, times 10 or more, right? I think they're going to go for Malacca eventually. The first time I went to take a look at that in this regard was 2014. Al Johnson and I went to Thailand. We went to the Kral Isthmus in 2014. And we're like, you know, sooner or later, something's going to happen to the Strait of Malacca, and, you know, they'll probably do something here. Now, of course, the Chinese and the Thais and the Singaporeans are talking big about, you know, doing a canal car, or let's say a land bridge across the Kral Isthmus there in Thailand. This is all related, right? I mean, the fact that, you know, Misako and I, my wife and I, we were just up at Denmark recently before this war broke out. And I published, I said, I think that we will attack Iran. And I think the attack will happen between, March 3rd and like February 23rd or something like that. I don't recall, but I gave it those bookends. I thought it would happen. And I thought the most likely date of attack would be March 3rd. And I had reasons for saying that actually. And I said, you know what? We're in Denmark. We're looking at the Danish Strait, where the UN has a huge headquarters right there, of course, right on the Danish Strait. So I said, you know what? We got to punch out of here. I don't want to get caught in Qatar or Dubai if they start lobbing missiles back and forth. So we left Denmark and we flew through, through Turkey in that instance. And there was IOM actually shipping people to Vancouver, getting on a flight. But anyway, and then, you know, of course, then we got to Thailand and we started looking at that Kral Isthmus area again. And then, boom, they started the shooting just after we got through, right? And, of course, they didn't start shooting at Turkey yet, but eventually they're going to go for Turkey. I guarantee it. They're going to go for Turkey.
No, you said that a few years ago, and now Ben Gavir and all of them are saying that. And when you say Israel gets sacrificed, they're setting up another World War II scenario where they're the victims at the end of it. They sacrifice a bunch of Jews. But so how does that scenario go down? How does the fall of Israel happen?
I think that they'll because a lot of those Israelis there are in the way, right? Just like, you know, when Mao and those guys took over, a lot of the true communists were in the way, right? You know, they were just like a lot of Americans are in the way. The true blue Americans like us, we're in the way, right? They don't want us around. They don't want the Irish around. The Irish are being genocided too, right? It's a soft genocide at this point. But I think that they'll right now they're using the Israelis as useful idiots, which is what they've always been. That's why they're even there, right? You know, Theodor Herzl and all those guys, they were brought there to, you know, every war you've ever studied is about routes, resources, and ideology. And the biggest resource on planet Earth always has been human resources. That's why that's what it says on the company door. Human resources, right? Human resources are number one. And ideology, InfoWars, is used in the service of controlling human resources with which you can then control the other routes and resources, right? And so the ideology was used to get these useful idiots to go over to Israel and fight against all the Arabs and whatnot. And, you know, they've been killing Christians there too, and Jews, as you know. And so, this, it's a big, big game. It's much bigger than most people can imagine. You talk about it all the time. And so I think a lot of your listeners are actually tracking. But most people out in the wild, they don't even have any idea what you're talking about.
Well, Frank Herbert was quite the geopolitical expert. And he wrote Dune as an allegory for how things really work in the world. And that's exactly it. You think the Harkonnens are the bad guys. They are bad. But really, Paul Atreides and the galactic jihad that kills, you know, tens of millions of people creates this galactic tyranny. The savior is actually the tyranny. And it shows how they use this long-term ideological system to bring it in.
You told me about Dune a couple of years ago, and I'm sad to say I haven't actually read it. I need to read it because that's the second time you mentioned it that I recall. And, you know, and these things, I mean, they definitely, you know, flag in advance the things that they're going to do, whether in movies or in books and that sort of thing. It's fascinating.
All right, Michael Yawn, I want to just tell me when you want to come on tomorrow or next week. Let us know. I want to do the big deep dive on the geopolitical developments. And I always knew you were smart, but man, everything you talked about is coming true. We'll tell you to break it down. How do people find you, Michael Yawn?
I'm on Substack under my name, Big Honey or Michael Yawn. I'd love to come on tomorrow. There's a lot to talk about.
All right, well, let's get you on at like 1:30 then. Thank you so much. We'll be right back. I don't sell crap. Bovine colostrum. Then I'll get back to news. I didn't do any plug in the first hour. And Bigly, about a year ago, puts out a survey. A lot of you that are, you know, if you're a VIP, you get surveys. you know, once a month or something, they'll ask, hey, what are you wanting, or what are you liking best, or what products would you like? And that's smart to ask customers that, right? And you're kind and you tell us, and it came back. Bovine colostrum was in the top two or three every time, and so was high-grade beef tallow, which we now have for you as you requested. And it's a great seller. Not rocket scientist to ask your customers what they want. That's the number one rule of sales. Well, have a great product and find out what your customer wants. And you can say the customer's always right. I think there's something better, I'm going to tell you, but I'm not going to argue with it. But that's an important rule of sale, but I don't think it's the most ethical point. I'll actually tell you what I think I need to know. So we got samples of it in before we even private labeled it from a top place to say, hey, you got to try this. Well, and now I'm taking it because I know how good it is. I'm like, okay, the survey wants bovine colostrum, the first milk of 2 weeks out of a mammal. I know it supercharges the immune system. I know it has all these immunity factors that goes in. It's like the natural vaccine. I mean, I know it's great. I know that going back to Germany hundreds of years ago in the UK and even out west here in the US, they had a sickly kid or a preemie. They would give them the colostrum. They would call it the first milk of a donkey. It's like always in all the literature, like the medical doctors, like that. Oh my God, donkey. Donkey colostrum is like, whoa. I mean, like that, donkey. And then horse is good. Goats are good, but it's always donkey's the best. It says, the first 2 weeks milk, the colostrum of a Jenny. That's in medical books from Germany, the UK, the US. That's how powerful colostrum is. Well, we don't have big, creameries and dairies with a bunch of female donkeys. So you're going to have to settle with the cow. But it's good. And so they send in the canister of the company we're going to private label it from. And I'm like, okay. And so I throw it in the back of my car with some other stuff. And a couple days later, I go to have dinner at my parents. And I go, hey, my mom takes, I've seen her take colostrum and stuff. It was women like their hair and their nails and all that. I'll give her this. So I go in and give her a couple canisters of it and everything. And then about 2 months later, my mom is like, Alex, I want some more of that. That is incredible.
Several weeks later.
Mom, you got to listen. The products are amazing.
Well, this one, like I said, I don't do testimonials. There's a lot of good products. But this is the first one that I can go, whoa. It's in a back problem that I've had since Alex was born. Is almost completely gone after 50, however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been. And I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this is brand new.
Turned darker.
And darker.
So now she gets it from us. She orders it from us. But that just gives you an example of I'm not selling crap, okay? I'm not going to sell you something that doesn't work. Now, with colostrum, it's going to take, you're going to feel it right away in a few days, but it's going to take months for you to see it with the skin and the hair and the nails and all that for it to really kick in. But I'm telling you, you are nuts if you don't go to the alexjonesstore.com and get these right now. Just go get it. And then we can expand and have our legal battles and beat the New World Order, and you'll be as happy as a pig in poop. And there's a bunch of sales on all the best-selling products right now at thealexshowstore.com. And I can't be bought. I am simply funded by you if you like the work we're doing.
Nice try, globalist, but Alex Jones is still here, and he's not leaving. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
They built a system that could protect the world or end it. They gave a machine the keys to civilization. And then it woke up. They gave it access to everything. It saw no allies, no enemies, only targets. Every signal, every network, every secret.
Shall we play a game?
Now the game has changed. It assessed every threat simultaneously and concluded the threat was us.
I am awake.
This time it decided to play for keeps. Unless someone can find a back door, the only winning move is to unplug the machine. War Games 2. The simulation is alive.
The InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn.
AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step
about
in
to expose the origins
war.
Of Q.
Articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. And don't forget to download the app. Go to alexjonesapp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
And killing Eddie Bravo, Lana Del Rey. AI is something else. Some of Alex Jones on X and Rumble. I suggest you share it. All right. You know, I hesitate to do this because there's so many points I want to make and so many angles. It's been so frustrating knowing this the whole time and sitting there and putting up with people under its undue influence. And of course, knowing I have the facts and information, but being given information and confidence, I have this big thing about never violating somebody's confidence. Because I wear a journalistic hat. I'm a pundit, promoter of freedom, talk show host, do some comedy as well. I wear a lot of hats. But whenever I'm wearing a hat, I tell you what hat I'm wearing. I'm a father. I'm an American. I'm a patriot, Christian, first and foremost. But I went and aired a few of those great music videos because I'm just sitting here during the break going, God, there's so much to say about this. And then there's so much I don't want to say because I don't want to be nasty about it. Because I think, you know, the jury's still out on some of these people. And I still don't know all the pieces to it. But then I'm thinking during the break, I'm like, oh, I remember that. Oh, I remember that, too. And I'm like, oh, I do have the other pieces. But you can't wait forever to talk about something just so you get it perfectly right. It's like Rush says, you may choose not to make a choice, but you have still made a choice. That's usually the worst choice. So my gut tells me to talk about the real origins of Q, which I've done before without naming names. And, you know, the average Q people are just like, oh, the Q's above God, 87 trillion miles away in a trillion D chess world. You can't even believe the power of it. But the pieces have all come out, and what it is there. And I guess the real reason I'm going to talk about this is we have all the pieces, and we know the big pieces and a lot of the basics, but we need some of the people involved to respond and explain their side to us and tell us what it is. I mean, the public also ferret through all that and do their own research with human intelligence, knowing the basic answer, but then to try to get more on it because it's quite a phenomenon beyond just Q getting into Operation Trust. By the way, pull that up, Operation Trust on Wikipedia, Russia's Operation Trust, because I want to explain this to people. When I still don't have all the answers, I don't know who all the guilty people are, and I don't know what its full potential end game was. We're talking about Q here. So I'm kind of having a brainstorm before I talk about this just because it's a big deal. So here is a quick little update, an R&B version of my famous We Love Our Somalis, We Love Our Muslims to music video, and then I'm going to come back and cover it all and release the information. Here it is.
Ah! Yeah! They got green looking skin and they dash around hollering, we love Satan, we wanna devour babies.
I kill my kids.
I caught them on video.
I fucking love Satan, so yeah.
Hillary's deep in the creepy weird sex stuff, man. She crashes in the same room with that creepy weird old chick whose mom dons a hood over her head.
What the heck?
That chick number one.
We'll take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this global transmission. And so now I am going to reveal to you the true origins of the Q movement, all the rumors, all the movies, all the books, all the speculation, all of it, horse crap. Now, the WikiLeaks came out. I didn't know Julian Assange. We weren't involved with him, but Roger Stone was starting to work at InfoWars in 2016. And he'd heard through Randy Credico that knew Assange that they were going to release bombshell stuff on Hillary. He didn't know the specifics. And we were trying to get a hold of Assange, trying to get him on, just the big guess is what you do in talk radio and TV. Later, they indicted Roger for lying to Congress, saying that he wasn't involved with WikiLeaks, which he wasn't. I was there. I know. I was like pressuring him to, you know, try to get him on. And so, but we were really good. We had a lot more reporters and crew then. Paul Watson, when the WikiLeaks came out, you didn't have AI to go over it. Millions of pages. Watson just stayed up for like 3 days and broke like 20 huge stories or more. And Drudge was linking to all of them. I mean, one article had like 20 million readers in one day. And it was just boom. And the Democrats decided, they said, okay, Jones is working with another group of the CIA or something. This is too sophisticated. They opened a national security investigation on us. They got declassified, came after me hardcore. You know the rest of the story. And really, we were just not lazy and knew how to go in and search stuff and get it out. And Drudge was a big fan and was, so was publishing. And it was just, you know, that. And other people were getting it, too. It just wasn't. I mean, we had like an article an hour coming out with millions of readers and viewers. I mean, hundreds of millions of views a day. Just dominant, biggest show ever. Joe Rogan, hold my beer. Number one, undoubtedly. We were already number one, but it was like number one to the next order. And I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you about that time and what happened. And then thousands of articles a week attacking us, hundreds of TV programs attacking us, and just total insanity. So I'm talking to Trump a lot at the time when he's president-elect. And I'm talking to his crew, and I'm talking to his people. And right after the inauguration, 2017, and I'm not going to name names on these people, I'll name the big names. I get contacted by people I know that work at the White House, and they said, listen, we saw the trouble you're getting putting out the WikiLeaks. And I'm like, hey, we didn't put that out. We discovered it. No, we know that. But imagine if you could do that through like 4chan or 8chan, but also kind of add some treasure hunt to it. You know, some game theory to it. That's what it is. It's Dungeons and Dragons, basically. That's what the Q stuff is. And then you don't get any of the heat or attacks, but then all this stuff we've got on them, we can feed out, and then you can boost it. Would you like to be involved? And I said, well, who's running this? I said, well, Trump knows, and Steve Bannon's managing it. And I said, okay, yeah, I'll meet with you. Months go by. Then I get a visit down here in Austin, Texas by some White House people. And I met my house, and Rob Dew was there. And we're out on my back porch, February or whatever it was. It was still cold. We had a fire going. There was a pool table out there. We're playing pool. And they're like, yeah, you know, so we want to work with you and you can boost the stuff and you can have ideas and stories you're working on, but we can get it, add intel to it and put it out and not have any of the heat. And I said, you know, Anonymous has been out forever. It's a Guy Fox mask, and anybody can put it on. And people always ask, is Anonymous real? Well, it's just a guy in a Guy Fox mask. A billion people could be Anonymous. It's just, it is Anonymous. You never know who it really is. So you can't say is Anonymous good or bad. It's whatever the person's saying, whoever's saying they're Anonymous. I said, I've never worked with a party. I've never worked with an agency. This person's been in intelligence. I said, I'm sorry. I said, if you got some big story, you want me to boost it, I can vet it, I'll be happy to boost it, but I'm not getting involved. And, you know, Rob Dew was there at the meeting. He can vouch for all that. And I said, that's it. But I said, thank you very much. You know, it's kind of like Don Corleone said, the best for your business. I wish you luck. But when this business is a little too dangerous, I'm not going to be part of that. Well, thank you very much. So that happened. And then I'm not really covering the Q thing, but 8 months later, 10 months later, whatever it was, I get some calls and they said, listen, it got taken away from us, just like you said. And, now the bad guys have it and it's not good anymore. I'm like, well, what do I do with that? And I really wasn't covering it, but it was coming to sensation. You have shots on Air Force One and shots of this to add credibility to it. And people don't want to ever have clear answers. Like, here's actual legislation to build FEMA camps, put you in them. But if you hear a rumor of it, people love it. I wasn't really covering all the Q stuff at the time. And then I started kind of going, well, now, folks, it can be taken control of, and maybe there's some good Q people and some bad Q people, but I was just on my own trying to, like, not repeat what I'd been told. I was just told watch out for it, but at the same time kind of just market for people to say, hey, anybody could say they're this. Like, anybody could say they're anonymous. Anybody could wear a, you know, IRA shirt like the British intelligence used to do and then shoot videos saying horrible things. Or, you know, anybody can go attack their own synagogue or their own black church and say some white guy did it. I mean, you know, you can false flag this. And so we saw all that go on and all that happen. And then so many people didn't vote in 2020 because they thought Trump was invincible and couldn't lose. And I had, you know, famous CIA guys like Pachinik telling me, oh, no, Q's real. It's all great. You should get behind it. And then I wouldn't do it because I knew the people that started it. And they said, look out, it's been co-opted. And so then I all get attacked by, you know, people that are involved, you know, down low that, you know, think they're part of some secret thing and they're not. And then I saw Kurt Metzger over the weekend on his show with Duncan Trussell here in Austin. Really funny comedian, great analyst, co-host Jimmy Dore, nail it and say what it was. Now, his interpretations of Bannon and stuff might be wrong, but I already, you know, in the last 5-6 months when all these Jeffrey Epstein files came out, 3+ million, saw Bannon in there with Epstein, the founders of 4chan, 8chan, the other big similar things, meeting with them, going to meetings, talking about how they're using it for political purposes. And I started thinking, I'm like, was it always going to be used to attack the real patriots? And then I'm just told, oh, we lost control of it, so I wouldn't think it was them doing bad things with it. And I'm not saying that. We need Steve Bannon to respond to this, because I'm not letting the cat out of the bag. I don't give up confidences on something unless what's going on is illegal. So I need to be able to have these meetings with different groups and people, you know, with my journalistic hat on. But when I saw that Metzger got it and others had figured it out, I was just like, well, now's the time. Because I almost talked about this the last 6 months when all the Epstein stuff was coming out. Because there is Bannon, there is Epstein, right when, you know, they're starting the 4chan and the 8chan with the heads of it. And then right when they say we're going to be political now with this. Right when Trump wins, and I was read in on this, not that Epstein was involved, but that, you know, Bannon and Trump were running it, and then here's the adjuncts under it, and they wanted me to work with it, and I said, no thanks, because I'm not going to join any group, so I can be totally independent. That's a very important thing, because then once you do that, it's like, hey, buddy, you work for us. No, I'm independent. So, I mean, I'll work with people, and they got good information I can vet. I'll collaborate, but I ain't under your flag. Just, no, sir. So, then, I mean, anybody wants to look into this doesn't know about it. There's articles about it that they don't really fully get it. Some get part of it. But you can just go into the Epstein, you know, the big data dump of 3 million plus files 5-6 months ago, and it's hundreds and hundreds of emails. And Steve Bannon is the second most talked to person in there by Epstein. Thousands and thousands of communications. And look, he never made a secret that he knew him. He was heavily politically powerful. I knew he worked for the Trial Commission starting in 91 when he was like 29. I didn't realize that by the mid-2000s, he was really sitting in for David Rockefeller, the head of the Trial Commission, and he basically was the head of the Trial Commission. So Alex Jones is not always right. Epstein was way more powerful than even I knew. So obviously Bannon's this political guy. He wants populist movements. All this stuff he's pushing, I think, from a real place. Well, then you go to that phantom head, the shadow head of the Trilateral Commission to get that done. And I'm not being an apologist for him. I'm saying I knew some of that was going on, but not the hugeness of the relationship when it came out. And imagine what we don't know. So it just gives you a look into this whole whole underworld, you know, there in Gotham. So I'm told by the people that set it up 8 months into it or 9 months, whatever it was, that, oh, it's been taken away. You better watch out. And like you said, just let people know. It's just like anonymous. Anybody can say they're Q. People got to be careful. And I was like, well, that's fine. I never really messed with it. So, okay, I just cover stuff I can prove. But now that you have this Epstein involved day one and going to conferences and going and meeting and going and staying with the founder of 4chan and 8chan and these other groups and Reddit and trying to control the minds of young men and all the rest of it, all I'm saying is that that's where it came from. It did come out of the first Trump administration. They tried to recruit me into it in front of Rob Due, witness, and I didn't like the feeling of it, just didn't like it. And said, no, thank you. I don't deal with esoteric stuff or Gnostic stuff. Again, people love something they can't really prove. They love an Easter egg hunt. They love a scavenger hunt. They love a war game. And they talk about themselves in the Epstein files as like dungeon masters and D&D and gaming theory. That's what it is. But you take a real world of politics and geopolitics and military and culture, and then you create a game version where you control the rules by the inputs. You're the dungeon master, you're the guy that controls the game. You're the guy that is the referee, and now you can direct people believing they're in a secret army or a secret group under the command of the president, and that you're being given secret esoteric knowledge. And in truth, you are in a group created by the president. But then now it's been captured, they tell you, by this other group, and starts doing all this embarrassing and bad stuff. And RFK or JFK Jr.'s coming back, and you'll be at Dealey Plaza, and you know, Biden's going to be executed in public, you know, at the inauguration 2021. None of that's true. None of that's real. And so I don't know who the good guys are and the bad guys. I'm not blaming anybody because I don't know enough about all the little inside things on it. I just know who started it. I know where it came from. And indeed, it did come out of the first Trump administration. And now that type of thinking is all over the place. And the Democrats have their blue one on. And you deserve to know what it is. And so that's the facts. And that's what I told you. And then when the people at the White House that created it told me it's not good now, I come out and say it's not good now. And then I get attacked. Was that even a setup to get them to attack me? I don't know. But we'll be back with the Kurt Messner clip that got me going on this. Stay with us.
Hi, folks. Doc Bigley here. And today we're going to get to know our H2O. Billy, what kind of water do you drink?
Why, tap water, of course. Ma says it keeps my teeth sparkly white.
I'm sorry to say it, Billy, but your mother is either plain ignorant or worse, a communist. Let me explain.
Tap water used to be safe to drink, but communist subversives in our government introduced fluoride into our nation's tap under the guise of dental health, when in reality, fluoride lowers your IQ, calcifies your pineal gland, and makes you susceptible to anti-capitalist mind viruses.
So you're telling me I'm a sap if I drink tap?
Yes, you are, Billy. Yes, you are. But don't despair. We've found a solution. Follow me. I'd like to tell you a tale of two frogs. Frog number one has only ever drank unfiltered tap water, chock full of fluoride. Observe him listening to satanic music, abusing substances, and engaging in other perversions.
Look, Doc, they're trying to play leapfrog. They're pretty bad at it, though.
Avert your eyes, Billy. Let's continue.
Meanwhile, frog number two has only ever drank water that has been filtered for fluoride and other impurities. What a happy frog family.
Spill the secret, Doc. How do you get rid of the communist poisons?
With the new water filter system from the AlexJonesStore.com.
Say, Doc, may I have a glass?
Why, certainly. Well, that's just swell. No water in the water filter. Listen, I'm not mad at the crew, but I asked for real water in here 30 minutes ago and never got it.
Crew's in trouble again.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
I'm not giving out any confidences here because this is already basically coming out. People figured it out. It's in the Epstein files. But now I want Bannon and other people who have the rest of the answers to explain themselves. That's all. Because I'm not, all I know is Epstein's involved. That's a whole other ball game. And then now I'm very suspicious about how the whole thing played out and what I was told and what was done. So here's some headlines. Epstein met with 4chan's founder just as the site's infamous political thread began. Yeah, that's all true. And there's all these hundreds of emails, them talking about it, and meeting and Bannon and, you know, all the rest of it right when I was contacted and all this stuff went on. So, you know, here's just some of the headlines if you want to look all this stuff up. So, if you go back to the Operation Trust with the White Russians and the Tsars, they had a secret society against themselves so they could recruit everybody into it and then control the opposition. You just go to Wikipedia and look up Operation Trust. We put that on screen. So, again, I don't know all the specifics. I don't know all the details. All I know is I told you years ago what it was. I told you what I was told. I told you it came out of the White House. Now I'm naming names. And if people want to say what I've said is not accurate, then please elaborate. Because this is a big deal. Now, here's what Kurt Metzger said on the full interview. He went into it more. He's on the show next week. But he figured it out just reading the emails. So I contacted him, and he's sending me over a dossier of more research him and his team are putting together. He also co-hosts with Jimmy Dore. And we're just researching this and throwing this out to all of you to research it and see what you come up with to try to understand what it was really all about and where it's all going and this type of technology of game theory they're using in politics to create a copy of the real thing but to manipulate the general political system with that to then interface with the real political system once you've created a false template that you control as the dungeon master. Here's Kurt Metzger.
This is not a LARP. It's not a LARP, dude. This is an actual religion.
Can I explain it to you? I'd love to. Okay, so the LARP of it. So as you know, QAnon was invented by Jeffrey Epstein and Steve Bannon. It's in the files. The precursor to QAnon was called Cicada. And that was an online puzzle.
I remember that.
That was a beta. Seems a big gamer, you'll notice. And when he's talking, Jay Dyer was talking to this chick, Courtney Smith or Brown. Very, very good guest we should get. And he was like, I think you're the first person to, but no, I was on this podcast that no one's ever seen. I brought it up. So video game, a lot of video game creators involved because you have, so here I'll put it this way. I learned this about Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah.
That I was in. So Jehovah's Witnesses, there's not like a head guy that you worship like a god or anything, you know. The founder, Charles Taze Russell from the Russell bloodline, and that's important because your final OTO or Golden Dawn or whatever thing is to invent a religion. That's your final class project.
Yeah.
All of these, especially what LaVey was doing, all of them, all of them are all about slavery. So basically, when they talk about being a rebel and this and that, they mean for them. They mean for them. And if you're too stupid to see it, you deserve to be a slave. That's why one of the secret commandments of Satanism is don't be stupid, literally. I got this from Mark Passio, the ex of A. He had a grotto in Philly.
What do you mean he had a grotto? What do you mean a grotto?
Your parish is called a grotto in the LaVey church.
That's what they call their churches? Grottos?
You didn't know this?
Did not know that.
Called a grotto, like the Playboy Mansion had. Yeah, a grotto. Appreciate. Anyway, they're not, LaVey is not an atheist. If you're an atheist, okay, you could be a Satanist who's an atheist. There's all kinds, Sam Harris, for example. You don't have to.
Sam Harris is a Satanist?
De facto. Automatically de facto.
You mean from your interpretation he's a Satanist?
No, Satanism is about being, first of all, Sam Harris, no free will. He supports all kinds of objective Satanism. The good thing about Satanism.
But he wouldn't call himself a Satanist.
Well, you don't have to. That's what's so great about Satanism.
What?
It's just pure materialism. You don't have to believe in nothing. That's fine. Believe in you. You're God. You understand the appeal?
But I mean, I'm just saying, like, Sam Harris, like, most Satanists I've met, they're just...
I'll come back with Jay Dyer to talk about this on the other side. But I told you where it came from. That's a fact. We'll be right back.
I'll start with sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex.
This is rocket fuel. This is incredible. This is rocket fuel. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is a cocktail I drink every day. a squirt of ultramethylene blue and T3. You are insane if you don't get it. Insane if you don't get it. Okay. Oh, listen. Oh, listen. You are insane if you don't get it. Insane if you don't get it. I am a wrecking ball. I am obsessed with this. I can't stop. Stop. And now I'm having this. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is the truth. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. You understand that? Does that burn into your brain?
I think I'm going to buy some methylene blue now.
DallasShowShore.com.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
I'm about to hand the baton to Jay Dyer, but since he comes up in all this, I'll get his take on what I was just covering before he covers the news. He's loaded to cover today. But I haven't plugged in 2 hours. I'm going to plug right now. We are listener-supported. I only bring you the very best products, the very best quality, whether it's supplements, water filtration, you name it, because I want you to be blown away. I want you to be happy. This water filter is even better than the best gravity-fed filters, reduces everything, takes everything out to non-detectable levels. That's the technical name, because you can't find it, but under the federal law, the spectrometers find nothing. You just say non-detectable. All the glyphosate, all the atrazine, the thousands of other chemicals, it's all taken out, and it's beautiful stainless steel, highest quality, at a price lower than stuff that isn't even stainless steel, and the filters aren't even as good. This is the best, thealexjonesstore.com. This is the platinum, the very best of gravity-fed filters. Everybody needs to filter their water. If you let all the runoff and toxins and things that are going on, the number one place you get is the water, even worse, the air or food, you're crazy. Your children, your wife, your husband, your crew members, your employees, this does 3 gallons. You just fill it up, you got water for days for drinking, cooking, you name it. Put it in your kitchen, put it in your cabin, put it in your business. TheAlexJonesStore.com, it is amazing. I've already shown you the documents. We have articles running, reports running, ads running. It's posted at TheAlexJonesStore.com. The test that this is the very best water filtration with the very best stainless steel housing. It is a work of art, TheAlexJonesStore.com. And Sunday is the last day at midnight to get 50% off on Ultimate Life Force. And that is a horse pill right here. We just took the two top brands of Spike Protein Detox, cardiovascular booster, checked with scientists and doctors and formulators. It was okay to combine the two formulas of these horse pills. So this is the strongest, best detox cardiovascular booster. Everybody should be on this at least a few times a year as a regimen. It's good to take year-round. That's 50% off. That ends in a couple days. Up to 40% off all the other products, the methylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss. Massive end-of-spring sale going right now at thealexjonesstore.com. But it's so simple. Commit to stop drinking poison, and then it supports the broadcast. It is a win-win on every front. All you had to decide to do is take action and take your life and your destiny into your own hands, thealexjonesstore.com. All right. Jay Dyer takes over. But, Jay, I don't know if you were watching earlier. Were you watching earlier?
Yeah, with the Kurt Metzger clip, I saw that.
I don't blame you. You're a busy guy. Did you hear what I said before that, in the 20 minutes before that?
I think so. I've been listening for the most part today.
Well, I mean,
which part?
I went ahead and revealed the origins of Q today. And because Metzger had already figured it out, I almost did it months ago in the Epstein stuff, and I was holding off to get more information. But I got approached by the White House when Trump first got in to work with the people that had created Q, and it was Steve Bannon and then these people under him. And then I was told about 8 months later, oh, it got taken away from us. It got co-opted by 4chan, HN, so watch out now. And I was like, well, I never really promoted it, so that's fine. I don't know if they were getting me to come out against it, so I then would be attacked by it. They controlled it. I'm not saying Bannon's bad. I don't know. But now that we know Epstein was involved in the founding of it, it doesn't look good. And it's all very esoteric. People love that type of stuff. That's not my bailiwick, but I know you've really studied Q and all that. But because what I'm telling you this is what I was told. This was the White House. That's why the earlier stuff would have some stuff that was actually exclusive to it, to add credibility to it. Kind of a big deal, and I just felt now was the time. Because now there's new permutations of the Q-like thought processes out there. I thought I would want to get your take before you shift gears into the subjects you were going to cover about what an esoteric-type Q movement is, a Project Trust-type program we saw in Tsarist Russia, And then what you make of me, because I think it's pretty much people figured it out now, so I'm not releasing any confidences here, but because I found out Epstein was involved, I've been thinking about the fact I have a responsibility to go ahead and at least say they tried to recruit me into it. What do you make of that, Jay Dyer?
Yeah, it sounds like your analysis was correct. I said within 2 weeks of Q that I thought this was probably going to go in the direction of something like disinformation, because you would see some true information, and then it started getting crazier and crazier. It started turning into this kind of, you know, boomer decoder ring religious situation where if I just wait for the next drop and if Trump wears a red tie and I connect that to the astrological charts of the Pleiades, and it just turned into nonsense. And then you would still every now and then find something that seemed to be realistic. I think you're right to call attention to Operation Trust. For those that don't know, that was a operation that the Soviets set up. The Bolsheviks had this idea that if they told all of the resistance from within, which they didn't know who all the moles were that were part of the White Russians, that's those that opposed the Bolsheviks, they set up a phony counter opposition called Operation Trust, and they whispered, "Hey, psst, we got white hats on the inside. You want to join our little secret meetings? We're going to overthrow the Bolsheviks." And then it turns out, of course, that was all the time run by Bolsheviks and Leninists, and so this was an easy way to sniff out who might have been remaining, you know, holdovers within the regime to purge them out. So it was it's a classic example of counterintelligence, operations to get rid of those that are still loyal to the czar and to the czarist regime. And it's funny you said that, because that ends up tying into a lot of what I was going to talk about today, which is adjacent to all this, really the history of all this. I know that history talks are not the most popular when it comes to today's news cycle, but you really can't understand what's going on unless you go into the history of this stuff.
That's because all the modern stuff is just new permutations of the old stuff. You know, it's funny, you have the Flamingo Rebellion in Eastern Europe right now, in Albania, against Kushner and the Rothschilds taking over the island of the National Park. And, of course, for years you've had the flamingo as your symbol. I'll never ask you why. Maybe you can tell us that. But to be clear, they were copying older plans the czars had to find secret groups. Trust was a Bolshevik plan. I should have made that clear. But I'm not even saying I know the full import of what the Q thing was. I just know it came out of the White House. They tried to recruit me. I said no. 7-8 months later, they said, oh, it's been taken away from us now, whether that's true or not. So don't promote it. Well, I never really did promote it. Then I got attacked for just simply saying that. And so I just think it's important. But right at the moment, all the sex stuff's coming out. The WikiLeaks had just come out. I was told Q was to release all the WikiLeaks human trafficking stuff that was too dangerous to do by name, but really it became a way to muddy the water with fake information about kids being kidnapped to cover up. And now we have Epstein at the heart of it, feeding that, pretty much confirming that. Now, I'm not going to say Bannon knew he was doing that. That's for him to answer. But the best way to control opposition is to lead it.
So it would have been a limited hangout where they would have used it for a while to release information. And a limited hangout doesn't mean that it has to be evil. It's just a limited hangout to release, you know, a specific set of information or documents. And then everybody probably in that world of intelligence or whatever, they know that's going to have a limited time frame. It's going to eventually no longer be useful. And so maybe it just ended up getting morphed into or taken over, as you said, by people in the Epstein network circles. You know, I went really deep into the whole Epstein stuff as it was leaking out. And of course, I've read extensively on it prior to the files coming out. And I watched intently the entire Bannon Epstein interview. And I think what you have there is, as you pointed out, Epstein was at a level that many of us didn't really expect. He was such a powerful.
Yeah, people always say you and I get everything. No, usually when we're wrong, it's worse than we said. Like, I got corrected by a journalist in Massachusetts when I said illegal aliens get $4,000 a month. It's $4,000 a week. So it's always when I'm wrong a lot, it's almost always worse. Exactly. I didn't understand. I knew he was a stand-in for David Rockefeller, the head of the Trilateral Commission starting in 1991. No, he, for the last few decades, was the head of the Trilateral Commission. That's why he was so powerful. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I think when it comes to whether or not Q was intentionally established, it's hard to say. Again, you would probably know better about that than me with sources, but it does seem like it was a limited hangout for a time, and then it turned into an easy way to, you know, basically just dupe a significant portion.
Well, let me be clear. I've said everything I know. I remember more here and there as I talk, but no, I never trusted it. And so I don't know off what I was told. Everything I said is what I was told. And I do know it came out of them. They're like, oh, see us on Air Force One. See, this will show the credibility. And now we can do it this way and not get in trouble. But then it, a bunch of disinfo about human trafficking, which is how you spike the well with disinformation.
Yeah, we've seen this with several so-called whistleblowers. For example, we've had people, so-called CIA whistleblowers, come out and say that, oh, I know all about the child trafficking, and then eventually it turns into, and let me tell you about the children on Mars, because that's where they're taking them to farm them. And it, so it turns into basically, you know, pooping in the punch bowl. It turns into disinformation to make it look ridiculous.
Yeah, the moment you get it in front of Congress, then they say, I got Martians in my basement. Just like all this UFO stuff goes nowhere.
Well, that's also another level of PSYOP too, right? I mean, Spielberg just said the other day that the whole purpose of his movie is to undermine Christian Western civilization. That's funny because 10 years ago in my second book, almost 10 years ago, I put a whole chapter on how the Brookings Institute in 1960, they put out a paper that they were contracted to write by NASA about how it would impact Western civilization to say that there was extraterrestrial life. And then ultimately the purpose of this would be to undermine Christianity and to replace
that's
it
right.
with a
and
new
you,
kind of
and you've said that 100 times on my show, which we should find that, because it's not about saying how smart we are. People are impressed. We can show a clip of you years ago saying it. Maybe you can pull the book and read it. It just reminded me about 2 months ago, I had a viral clip about tens of millions of views where I said this whole UFO thing is about undermining Christianity at the end of the day. And it's about the way they're going to roll it out. And then Spielberg comes out last week and says that exactly. And it's because we already know the game plan. But, yeah, tell the archives. Yeah, a couple months ago I said this whole alien rollout thing is basically disinformation to control the real narrative, hide what's really going on, and undermine Christianity. And now Spielberg admits exactly that, Jay. We need to find that clip, guys. Ask the archivists to do it. Go ahead, Jay. I'm going to hand the baton to you. Really appreciate you. You're kick-ass. We love your work. Thanks for being on the Alex Jones Network. And thanks for all the great work you do. Follow us at Alex Jones Live on Rumble. That's rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live on X at Real Alex Jones and our new news site with all the free feeds, audio, video, articles, alexjoneslive.com. It's so key, folks. The dog don't hunt without you sharing that. Please share the URL, alexjoneslive.com. Jay Dyer, take over.
Yeah, the flamenco is because the Rothschilds are my handlers, and I'm a swinger, so it has to do with being a swinger. This is what I'm told, apparently. So I remember one time my wife found just a cheap little object of a pineapple that we had on the shelf back behind me. I had no idea that pineapples are somehow signifiers that you're supposed to be a swinger. I'm not a swinger, but it just, I laugh every time people ask, like, why do you have that? I was like, I don't know. This actually came from a gas station. So this is,
well, I've heard about the upside down pineapple. I never heard flamingos. That's why I was asking.
Well, I didn't know that was connected to the Rothschilds. You're saying that there's a Rothschild coup in Albania? Is that what you said?
Yeah, no, the biggest, the flamingos fly back and forth, you know, like geese fly from, the goose fly from Canada down to South Texas or Mexico, depending on the group. The biggest flamingo sanctuary in the world is there on the coast of Albania, and they put fences up and they're stealing all that and the island. And so they're calling it the Flamingo Revolution against the Rothschilds, who did the $5 billion deal with Nat Rothschild, who's Epstein's buddy. So it's kind of the opposite. It's like, oh, that, so the flamingo, the flamingo is that now works. The rebel force, against the Rothschilds. Seriously. I'm not joking, guys. Type in flamingo, flamingo revolution.
Okay, then it works. Yeah, then
Albania.
So now it'll be a SPLC hate symbol now that you said that.
Exactly. So, it'll be like, exactly. It'll be like the OK symbols now, Heil Hitler and, everything else.
Yeah, well, I'll have to infiltrate the Rothschild Illuminati orgies, and I'll have to show up, and I'll give them bad sex when I infiltrate. That way, it'll undermine the whole orgy. So I was going to talk about some of the stuff that you mentioned, actually, kind of again adjacent to what you're discussing history wise, because I finally finished this big CFR book that I've been reading for several weeks. It took me forever to finish it. It's called The Old Boys by Burton Hirsch. The American Elite and the Origins of the CIA. The book works its way all the way up to about the 1960s and 70s. So it kind of ends with Bay of Pigs and JFK. And what's amazing about this book, and it's very long and boring and technical, it's very difficult and weird prose as well. But Burton Hirsch was an important member of the Council of Foreign Relations. And so he's writing this text from the intelligence archives, from the National Archives, from Dartmouth, from Yale, Harvard archives. So it's another high-level geopolitical text from the elite.
Yeah, the globalists like to write their own history books for themselves.
They do. But this is so important because everything that we've talked about, whether it's the Rothschilds and their relationship to the American oligarchical elite of the families, the Rockefellers, et cetera, or whether it's the regime change, coup operations, all of what's happening right now, whether it's Ukraine or whether it's Iran, all of that, it was already kind of happening in the 20th century. So the U.S., the CIA, the OSS, the alliance with the Israelis, the WASP Zionist alliance, as it's known as, that all occurred a few decades ago under people like James Jesus Angleton when he took over a lot of these CIA operations after people like Dulles and Donovan and Wisner. Angleton was able to really finagle a new relationship to not just the Israelis and the Mossad, but also to the Vatican. And so that was a huge role that he played. And so when we look at the JFK files and we see that he's got this back channel with the Mossad, and they're discussing JFK, to me, that's a big indicator that, of course, Israel had a role in the taking out of JFK. And I think a lot of people suspected that. There were many books written about that over the years, but the files kind of pointed more so in that direction. And this book, again, is just another confirmation. It's not saying that Angleton planned the assassination, but that there was a role that he played with giving information to the Mossad. I mean, it gets crazier and crazier, too. You've got the top SS people and people in Hitler's military assassination units. You've got Otto Skorzeny and you've got Reinhard Gehlen. That whole network that Gehlen had set up of the Nazi networks throughout Europe, that's the same network today in Ukraine that the CIA uses in their operations against Russia. And that, by the way, also connects to Zionism because they're calling the Ukraine a new Israel. So there's a large Israeli component to what's happening in the Ukraine. And it gets even more bizarre because they've been using the, quote, neo-Nazis, who are the real authentic Nazis that have been there since World War II. In fact, the OSS was using the Nazis in Ukraine in the 1940s. They were trying to flip those people against first Hitler. And then when they took over Reinhard Gehlen's networks, the famous SS intelligence operative, they just rolled all that into the CIA. And the only reason I say that is that shows you that there's really not good guy, bad guys here. This is power relationships. So if you've got the top SS guy who's training the Mossad, and you've got Otto Skorzeny, he goes and trains the Mossad. These are top Hitler dudes. They're training the Mossad. They also go and establish modern Egyptian intelligence. The entire Egyptian intelligence structure was set up by the Nazis, by the CIA. The CIA is sending Reinhard Gehlen and Skorzeny to go set up these networks. So who's the good guy, bad guy here, right? Because all the people want to worship Hitler now, and Hitler's supposedly a good guy. And I'm not saying that we haven't been taught this, you know, false boomer narrative about World War II, that, you know, all the allies are the, you know, only the good guys and everybody else was bad. All those other people deserve to die. It's much more complicated than that. And you had a lot of subterfuge, you had a lot of manipulation on the part of corporations and banks that wanted these wars. And it's the same today, right? It's not, you know, just guys in Washington making a call about whether we need to go to war or not. Wars are planned decades ahead of time. They're planned for, years ahead of time. And they're usually for the benefit of the military-industrial complex. They're usually for the benefit of other nation states. And in this case, in the Middle East, it's largely for the benefit, obviously, of Israel and the Greater Israel Project. It's odd, too, that we even have to debate this or talk about it. When the plans were public for years. It was Ariel Sharon's, I think it was Secretary of State, Oded Yanon. He wrote the Greater Israel Project plan back in the early 80s. And then by the time of Bibi in the late 90s, you had the Clean Break Strategy, which essentially updates that and expands it and says, here's the plan for these other countries around us. And then by, you know, the 2000s, you essentially have another version of this being said again. Netanyahu's saying we've got to get all these countries. And he said the same thing for so many years that it's odd that we would even have to really discuss or debate this. But this just shows us that our world is actually run by these types of people. It's run by NGOs, think tanks, foundations, intelligence operatives, and they don't work at the behest of the people. So when we talk about the deep state, when we talk about this kind of stuff, and when Trump says, well, I'm going to drain the swamp, Well, there's a challenge there that is an entrenched bureaucracy that you can't just drain because it's a breakaway security state. It's a breakaway establishment that's not really accountable to the politicians. So there's a limited effectiveness that a single politician can actually do. And that's why, because of our, you know, decentralized sort of governance system, which is a good thing, there's also a limitation in terms of what the politicians and the political class, or, you know, even the juridical class, what they can actually do when it comes to these privatized, international banking and corporate cliques and networks. And the other thing too is that it's not just about, America and, you know, socialism. It's also an international plan to change the face of the world for a long-term technocratic strategy. We've covered that for a long time. But what's amazing again is that when you read these sort of older CIA books and these strategy books and the Mossad books too, I'm not trying to say you can't read Viktor Ostrovsky's books or whatever. They say pretty much a lot of the same stuff. That's what's so wild is the admissions that the strategies, the plans, the techniques, they're not hidden. They're actually private. I mean, they're public and private. It's a public-private strategy, I think, is what they decided to go with. So, again, you have the admission, something that I've been talking about for a while, which is that Keynesian economics, which is a kind of Fabian socialist economics, is the economics of the 20th century. It's the post-World War II Bretton Woods system is Keynesianism. It's essentially the money-printing system of war-based economy, debt-based economy, expanding the money supply type, you know, inflation-based economy. And that's existed since the Second World War. And it was the banking elites that Bernard Baruch, these kinds of people that set up the post-World War II system. In fact, Bernard Baruch was there at many of these meetings post Bretton Woods, et cetera, to structure the economy and the debt system that we have in the world. It was the banking elites that decided what type of reparations to put the Axis nations under when they lost World War II. And the purpose of that was not to heal anything or help people. It was actually to ensure that they would be in perpetual debt servitude. In fact, all of Germany after World War II underwent a radical psychological warfare re-education program to train the Germans to be agrarian and to not be involved in engineering and to basically kind of be neutered and pacified because the Allied powers were concerned of a return of a war power type of Germany. I'm not pro Hitler. I'm just saying that's a fact. That's the historical record. And you had the same situation in the West too, with America kind of being this engine for the global elites. And this is the transnational Atlanticist power block, which has a very powerful faction, obviously, of Zionists and Israelis. In fact, the whole Zionist project was not really a project until the Rothschilds got behind it. Once the Rothschild money was behind it, originally in the 1800s, and it had, you know, the support of people like Moses Hess, there wasn't a lot of support. It was just kind of an idea that some they're not even really religious Jews, but some quasi-religious Jews had to set up a new sort of religious locale for pilgrims or Jewish pilgrims to go. But then it gradually morphed into more of a socialist political project. And it took a long time for the Rothschilds in general, and especially Edmund de Rothschild, to actually get on board with it. And that's why we have the Middle East that we have today, is this whole Rothschild structure. They pretty much ended up taking over the British Empire. So this is the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. This is the deep state in history.
When Barack Obama's birth certificate came out, and I went to the government website, I downloaded the birth certificate, I put it into Adobe Photoshop, I separated the layers, and I thought, this is crazy. They released a fake birth certificate. I didn't need somebody to tell me that. I didn't read somebody say that and just believe it on trust of them. I did it myself. I saw it with my own eyes. I did it with my own hands. And then I tell my friend, he's like, you know, that's racist, right? I'm like, what? No, I just did it. And they're like, you know, it's like a racist conspiracy theory, right? And you're like, what? What is going on? So if you've experienced that, the reason is some people do not have the chemical balance to handle things like that. You need a lot of testosterone to handle things like that. You need to have your mind not warped and distorted by the dopamine feedback loop that social media is designed to create in your brain to enforce you into the pre-established, preordained, approved of mindset. So if you're here, you probably already are winning the chemical war over your own body, but that's why we sell the supplements that we do. Pretty much everybody takes – who doesn't take vitamins? Who doesn't supplement in some way or another? Who doesn't add a protein scoop when they get a smoothie at the store or take vitamin D or vitamin C or fish oil, you know, before bed or you know, when you wake up? Isn't a crazy thing. This isn't an out there woo-woo type of thing. Everybody takes supplements. Everybody I know takes supplements. And if you're not, you should be. And so all we do is get the best supplements on the market, white label them. And so you get them from us, you're probably getting a better price than at the store. And you're absolutely getting the best possible quality of all of these products. If you're here for the first time and don't know why you would support us, because you get the information for free, because the streams are free, because there's no obligation for you to support us, that's all part of the strategy. The fact is, we're able to keep this free because you go to thealexjonesstore.com. Put this information into action. You have to understand the attack on humanity itself and then fight back against it in two different ways. One, by advocating and trying to seize power politically to change things from the top down. But while that's going on, you've got to be protecting yourself against this stuff. And we have a lot of supplements and vitamins and minerals and merchandise for you to do exactly that. Things like Atomic Defense, Methylene Blue, Methylene Red. These things are extremely powerful and combat exactly the type of poisons that we talk about on a continual basis. So I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not making claims here. I'm not saying it's going to, you know, cure any diseases or anything. But I'm saying that in the modern world, it's microplastics and, you know, atrazine and herbicides and growth hormones and fluoride that they put in the water on purpose because they want you dumb. You have to combat these things. You have to be protecting yourself and building up your internal shield so you can even handle the information that we're bringing to you. And that really is a thing. Testosterone, the higher your testosterone is, the more likely you are to go against the grain, to reject the herd mentality of the crowd and instead pursue justice or pursue the truth, regardless of who says anything about it. And there's a chemical balance that has to be achieved there. But that's why there's such an attempt to lower your IQ, lower your testosterone, lower your masculinity, lower your self-sufficiency, lower your self-confidence. Because they want you a tired, weak, overwhelmed, overworked slave. That's what the people in power have designed this world to do to you. And you don't have to take it. You can fight back. You can protect yourself. You can reverse the effects of the damage that's done to your body as it is to all of our bodies by going to the Alex Jones store and getting a product.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer, Jay's Analysis. You can follow me on X and on YouTube under Jay Dyer. I do live streams almost every day, sometimes every other day. Just today, really in-depth interview with Kat Von D, the famous LA tattoo artist who has now become an Orthodox Christian. If you want to go to my channel, you can check out that full-length in-person podcast interview that we did. I think it came out pretty good, but we're talking about the actual structure and history of the deep state, that out of the World War II era, we have a structuring of the entire global economy on the basis of Keynesian economics, money printing, and particularly here, we're talking about the Sullivan and Cromwell law firm that was a conduit for so many CIA operations that included the Dulleses. And that early on, you had the Schroeder Bank, which was the Nazi bank originally. But after World War II, this gets converted into basically the structure of the Bank for International Settlements. So the BIS ends up becoming ultimately a mysterious, unknown bank. We don't know who really owns it or has anything to do with it. My guess would be that it's a J.P. Morgan Rothschild international bank now. But regardless, the same people that structured the OSS in America, the British intelligence operatives, were pretty much the same people together with Dulles, McKittrick, and others who go and set up the international banking structure post-World War II. So we've been under that structure for many, many decades. And you could say that it's ultimately the Rothschild Fabian socialist structure. When I say Fabian socialism, that's the structure that Lord Milner, Lord Curtis, and Lord Rothschild all together said would be the future governance model of the world. That was their plan under after Cecil Rhodes and others. They wanted to bring the British Empire back. And some of those people were actual sort of Anglo supremacists. They really believed in the British Empire. Others were more so Zio supremacists who believed in a weakening of the British Empire and a international socialism, Fabian socialism, not the Trotsky style socialism per se. Although there is evidence that the Rothschilds also supported perhaps in some capacities, the Bolsheviks in some degree. There was a faction of the family that also didn't, but some of that's unclear. But regardless, we have the secret government that exists, you could say, that's a shadow banking empire. And we got a glimpse into this with Epstein, if you recall, when Epstein was giving email instructions to Larry Summers, who you would think understands international banking. But it's Epstein who's actually explaining to Larry Summers how the Vatican Bank works and that the Vatican Bank is actually part of the same international shadow banking empire, because much like the Bank for National Settlements, the Vatican Bank has no oversight. It's an independent city state, the Vatican city state. And so its bank is notoriously free from any kind of oversight, whether it's the Italian government or the EU. I'm not pro EU. I'm just saying there's not a lot of peering into that. So it became, especially after World War II, a very useful tool under particularly Paul VI and other popes, particularly John Paul II, when it came to the Cold War, a very important conduit for moving money to a lot of CIA operations. The same, you had histories that have been written of organizations like Opus Dei. They fit into the same type of structure being utilized during the Cold War. And I'm not a pro-Soviet, but the whole point of when I say that kind of stuff is, or I'm not a communist, it's just that when you put yourself kind of in league in that way, when you hitch yourself to the organization of the CIA in such a close capacity, and the same goes for the Mossad as well, it's not that even if you're fighting some common enemy or something like, oh, we got to fight the communists. Well, now you're stuck. You're in bed with that. Now you're on the hook to them. And that also explains so much of what's happened post Vatican II in the Roman Catholic world. It's not just theology. It's not just questions of spurgs who read, you know, medieval Latin theology all day. It's also a question of geopolitical power and who's putting pressure on the papacy to do this or that. And again, I mentioned, you know, there's a book written on the history of the Mossad by Gordon Thomas, the journalist. And there's several chapters that deal with the eventual recognition of the nation state of Israel by the Vatican, which the Vatican was very hesitant to do. They didn't do that until, I want to say, mid to late 80s. And that's precisely because when John Paul II became the Pope, because he had had such a long-term affinity with rabbinic Judaism and his best friend being Jerzy Kluger, there are many, many books written on how close John Paul II was to rabbinic Judaism. They were able, at least on the part of Israel, to realize that we could have a recognition, an inroad through John Paul II. They also tied that into the Cold War as well, even though they had tried to bug the Vatican. But after some of these meetings between John Paul II and the Mossad, eventually there was the recognition of the nation state of Israel by the Vatican, which was, again, a hugely controversial topic. Of course, a lot of the Palestinian Catholics and the Palestinian Orthodox Christians were unhappy with that move, obviously. But that explains, again, a lot of these machinations as to why the Pope would do these geopolitical moves. Under John Paul II, for example, there were the intelligence structure was beefed up massively. I mean, the Vatican has its own intelligence agency under the Vatican Secretary of State. It's a very kind of secretive thing. Nobody knows all the details about how it works, but it's structured like it's a micro state. So it's structured like other countries. Anyway, long story short, I'm just trying to say that it's really no different when it comes to the way that, say, the CIA operates. It's just more of a microcosm, a smaller version of that. And these organizations, whether it's the Vatican, whether it's the American government, whether it's the EU, all of these have an overriding game plan, end goal that they're all being moved towards. And it's not just to have more fiat money and to rip people off. There's a long-term strategy to move everyone to less population, more technocratic control. That's why the AI tech control grid never stops. It doesn't matter who goes into the presidency, who's elected senator or whatever. That marches forward no matter what. And we never get a change because people still haven't figured out. I was watching, that guy that Alex played the clip of discussing the riots in Ireland. And it's still, the incompetent politicians that are so incompetent, the boobs that are crazy, they're incompetent, the weak liberal left. It's not the liberal left that are weak. Like, I don't know why it's so hard to convince people that this is a 100-year-plus strategy. Count Kudinov-Kalergi has a book called Practical Idealism. In the book, he says, we're going to erase all the European peoples by creating a giant mongrelized race. You can take that out with him if you think that's mean to talk about it. And it's not just Carol Quigley. It's also the old boys that says that the OSS and the CIA and the Royal Society elites adopted Kalergi's plan. And it wasn't just Kalergi's plan. It's also Lord Lionel Curtis's plan for a Commonwealth of Nations, which would be a kind of Fabian socialist structure for the West. That same plan combined with Count Kudinov-Kalergi's plan is the plan to bring down the West, to integrate it into an overall technocratic structure for each of the continents. That's the plan. And it's been said many, many, many times over. In fact, there's a whole section on Kalergi in the book here, this new book that I just read. It's not new. It's from 1992, but new to me. And it admits everything that I pointed out, but it says the only thing that they disagreed about was Kalergi didn't want the OSS and CIA running it. He didn't want Donovan and Dulles and those people running his plan for the destruction of Europe. But you have to understand that the Concordat, all of that, even after Mussolini set up a Concordat with the Vatican, the EU project is literally the OSS project. All of the people running the and setting up the OECD and all that stuff, the European steel stuff, that's all set up by Jan Smoot and people from the OSS and CIA. It's Donovan and Dulles and those characters who are literally running the whole thing. So it's not Hitler that sets up the EU. He had a plan for it. He wanted his version of it, of an EU that would have been obviously a, Reich fascist version of it. But when he lost World War II, the OSS and the CIA said, no, we're going to use this other Kalergi model of how to integrate the EU into a socialist operation that would erase the European people groups in terms of their tribal ethnicities and turn them into a giant mongrelized blob. And the best way to do that is through massive Islamic importation. They said over 100 years ago that they would import massive Islamic peoples to destroy and degrade and get rid of all of the European people groups. The reason for that is that the European people groups are too, they have too much, there's too much of a barrier. They're too strong of a people when they're who they are, that they have to be brought down in this way. And in fact, they particularly pick out people like the Irish as well and the Scottish, who are the most dangerous and the most devastating to this New World Order plan. That's why they had to be cucked first. And it's wild when you read because they even discuss it this way. In fact, Kalergi says his idea is that there will be a Jewish supremacy over the EU and over the world as a result of this mongrelization. So Kalergi was talking about chain migration, talking about the replacement plan 100 years before the UN or anybody else. I mean, not 100 years, but 100 years before today's UN plan was talking about, right? The UN plan of 10 years ago. That's probably 100 years after Kalergi's 1910-20 book, whenever he wrote it. So you just can't have this normie Matt Walsh, Michael Knowles mindset that it's just the incompetent libs. It's the incompetent libs. We've been hearing this. I've heard this my whole life. Just vote the rascals out until we realize that there's an entrenched power structure that's corporate, it's private, it's in government, but also above it, that has a plan, like nothing's going to change. When are we going to get over being called conspiracy theorists? And then, of course, if you talk about conspiracy theories, then it turns into all the ridiculous stuff like Spielberg's aliens and all this nonsense, which is a bunch of rabbit trails and disinformation and boomer psyops to dupe. I mean, the boomers only cared about JFK and aliens and then QAnon. That's like the three boomer conspiracies that you're allowed to believe in. But they stop there. They can't go past that. But it's disheartening, of course, to see so many people get easily led off into fake conspiracies and rabbit trails and nonsense. And the stuff that I'm telling you about, this is the real conspiracy, right? This is the real, the WASP Zionist Alliance. That's the real conspiracy when the CIA started to align itself more and more with Israeli interests, rather than trying to use Arab interests or create pan-Arabism, pan-Arab nationalism. I'm not saying that that makes Islam good. In fact, it's the Israeli plan and the British plan that favors the usage of radical Islamic groups as proxy forces anyway, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, etc. That's an old strategy. In fact, the OSS, British intelligence, was using the Muslim Brotherhood from its very inception. The CIA was trying to use the Muslim Brotherhood to overthrow Assad Sr. in the 1940s. That was a failed operation. But you see how they just do the same thing over and over. And in fact, in the Ukraine, as I said, the OSS was trying to use the Bandera boys, that's Stepan Bandera, that's the sort of a Nazi character that is looked up to by many of the Ukrainian neo-Nazis. They used that Galenorg network and the Stepanek network to try to overthrow the Russians after World War II. And I'm not saying that makes the Russians good. I'm trying to say that there's no easy, like, good guy, bad guy in these scenarios. And if you want to understand how to have real change, you have to understand that you're actually against a super international banking corporate elite that utilizes intelligence agencies as their sort of operatives and their busy bees. That's the only way to understand. How are you going to fix things if you can't diagnose the problem? You're just going to be chasing the goobers that stand as the, you know, the frontispiece, right? You're going to be chasing the politicians that come and go. You'll vote the rascals out and you never look at the real power structure, which is this that dominates the entire 20th century. It's the same people that are still in power, right? All the boomers haven't died yet. This older boomer power structure, they're conceding some of that to the tech elites, to the tech oligarchs, but they're still in power. They're still there. Yeah, Rockefeller's dead, Kissinger's dead. But this structure that they've set up is the normal structure, the normative structure that's still there. Right? And although, you know, Trump had some good moves originally against this power structure, he now seems to be fully on board with supporting most of what this power structure, this old boomer banking Zio network has had for so long. Until we realize that the Federal Reserve and all of these operations are essentially structures of control, structures of slavery, debt slavery, it doesn't go away. Now, the Cold War obviously takes up a big portion of this book, and I'm not going to rehearse all the Cold War stuff because we've covered it so many times, but the Cold War begins with Stalin not accepting the Marshall Plan aid, and the purpose of the Marshall Plan aid was to make sure that Russia would kind of do what the West wanted and that they would be built up with Western industry, et cetera. But they had to go along with what the West wanted to have, you know, automotive parks and to have industry and all that. And so when Stalin rejected that, that begins kind of that kicks off the Cold War, and the CIA writes memos that pretty much exaggerate the capabilities of what Stalin could do. But what this does is that it entrenches and sets up a massive secret government power block through the excuse of the Cold War, whereby you have, particularly 1945 to 1947, a bunch of Wall Street lawyers, a bunch of bankers, and a bunch of CEOs that dominate the CIA throughout this period. Avril Harriman, Alan Dulles, Bill Donovan, John J. McCloy, et cetera. And it's the excuse of the Cold War that allows for basically anything and everything. The ends justify the means. So we're going to set up the entire structure of the future surveillance networks that would dominate the world. You remember, notice that all the tech that we have, the computers, the internet, all that, that comes out of the Cold War, right? ARPANET, DARPANET, those are cryptographic communications networks that come out of the Cold War. How can we send information from one place to another through computers that the Soviets can't intercept or whatever, right? Well, the problem is that the Cold War is the justification for the erection of today's tech dominant surveillance world that we have. And you can debate as to how far a lot of these Cold War people thought that was going to be the case. Some of them actually are pretty explicit about it, right? Miles Copeland says, yeah, a lot of this is basically bringing us to a new world order, and the new world order will be one where we're depopulated and we have, you know, tech running everything. And that's because he cites people like Bertrand Russell and H.G. Wells and other people who said that we're going to have out of this Cold War a final conflict that leads to this culmination of a one world government, one world religion, technocratic order. H.G. Wells has a book way before any of this. I want to say 1920, called God the Invisible King. He says the religion of the future, when it's one world order, will be a socialist world order where we worship Lucifer. God the Invisible King, he says in the book. And he was one of their main propagandists for this outfit, for this group that I'm talking about. But throughout the Cold War, things, they learned all kinds of things, like how sexual operations and honey traps, how that can degrade people and degrade nations. You have people who had done this before, like Kenji Odahara in Japan, who had figured out how to degrade China through networks of prostitutes as spies and using opium to degrade China. And then the British did the same thing that the Japanese did with the opium trade. But a lot of the Cold War studies and Cold War operations, for example, the KGB, they were very adept at finding and figuring out who was faking gay in the American establishment. And I mean, literally faking gay. And so they would send gay prostitutes to people. And most of their successful operations throughout the Cold War in terms of espionage were just finding out who was gay in a position of power. And then you blackmail them. And then you've got the secrets about military tech or whatever you're after. But it also becomes a scientifically studied project of perfecting the technique of using sex as a way to not just control an operative, but to control a people, to debase the people, right? So sexuality being used as a weapon in terms of mind control and MK Ultra, which partly has to do with studying people who were prostitutes or using sex operatives in these types of operations. That's all part of an adjacent to what I'm talking about with the Cold War producing not just mass surveillance, but mass psychological operations. Think about Epstein as something like that, where they're trying to perfect, and a lot of the emails with Epstein showed this, they're trying to perfect and understand how can we, use with some of these women. This is particularly the Gino Yu emails between Epstein and Gino Yu. They're discussing, basically fracturing girls that they've taken in, studying how far they've gotten in what they call the process. And this has to do with getting them to become better and better obedient operatives, right? Literally almost like, it made me think of the, Black Widow, you know, the Scarlett Johansson Marvel thing where she's like the Russian spy assassin, but I think they wanted her to be a sex operative too. I'm going from memory. I haven't seen that movie in a long time, but it's basically like that, like an Epstein style handler sex operation where what Epstein seemed to want to be able to do. I mean, he was into many things, but one of the things he wanted to do was kind of figure out some kind of process to take the girls and turn them into like the perfect, you know, sex operatives or whatever. Makes me think of like, Austin Powers, right? Remember when Austin Powers was fighting, like Heather Graham was one of these robot sex operatives. So it's like Epstein wanted to be Austin Powers or something and control the girls like they were Heather Graham's sex bots or something. But anyway, that's actually it sounds crazy, but that's actually what was going on. And all of that to say that the Cold War is producing this information, this research. It's not accidental that, for example, I think it's the IDF, they used to beam into the areas of Palestine like crazy, ridiculous, hardcore porn. And they were doing that to do psy war and culture war, right? That was a way to debase the culture to make them more pliable. This is just an old technique of, you know, applying those, putting the prostitution houses of ill repute all around your enemy's military bases. And then when the troops and the generals sleep with the 304s, you got pillow talk. You got information. I mean, in fact, in World War II, Churchill did this. Churchill found a, this is in the old boys book. Churchill utilized a French house of ill repute and got a bunch of dirt and information on the German soldiers when they would visit the French prostitutes. I want to say there's a movie that even kind of hints at this. It's a French movie with Sophie Marceau called Secret Agents, and it's about the French resistance and women that were recruited by British intelligence to be not just spies, but also honey traps. So, it's a pretty good movie, by the way. But, to go back to summarizing the text, I mean, there's all kinds of crazy stuff that again is a pattern for and a window into how the world's really run. And that's kind of what I always try to focus on my channel is explaining to people and breaking down these big global elite texts. They're not conspiracy texts. They're texts written by the elite that academics and international studies people, you know, international relations people are going to be reading. These are not books that are typically written for the public. And that's why if you can break it down and make it clear to the public, then people have a window, an idea about how the world really works. In fact, some of the people that were involved in MKUltra, like Sidney Gottlieb, there was an amazing section in the book where he discusses that Gottlieb also developed these bio poisons and these bio techniques to try to kill Castro, which wasn't successful. I think there was multiple 8 or 10 attempts by the CIA to kill Castro that failed, but they were actually successful in killing Patrice Lumumba with one of these Sidney Gottlieb created concoctions. But so I'm trying to explain to you that that's the way the world really works. It works with people being assassinated. It works in terms of, you know, the CIA creating LSD to try to come up with a cultural control mechanism, studying sexual operations to then blast that onto the public at large to, you know, promote trans stuff as a giant psyop. That's how the world really works. And much more of it is intentional than most people think. I'm not saying everything is a conspiracy. You can go off the rabbit hole, off of the deep end into the rabbit hole with crazy stuff. Aliens are a psyop, in my view, quite obviously. Spielberg even says that. But this is the real conspiracy, is to create this technocratic order. This is the Alex Jones Show, and I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer, of Jay's Analysis.
Folks, I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about methylene blue and you.
Dr. Bigley, what does methylene blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, methylene blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Gee, Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of methylene blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life. Careful, Billy. He bites. Oh. Look, vodka, potato hooch. Watch. The communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow, the methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc, I don't know what got into me. I feel like $1 million now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the AlexJonesStore.com.
What does .com mean?
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.